This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Hello, welcome to the Richard Herring Show. I am Richard Herring. It is my show. It's just mine. Who are you?
I'm Lily Sanders.
Oh, decided to turn up this week, I noticed.
Who did you have set of bone of contention?
She was whoever it was, she was very, very good and professional.
Yeah.
And this might be the last time you do it. I didn't want to just do it by text, so I thought I'd get you in, do a show.
Yeah, I'm not bothered anyway.
If you do all right, we'll keep you
I'm
on.
I'm not
we'll
even see. Bothered, I've got other
we'll
things
see.
To do.
All right,
I'm making a collage.
That's the wrong one. There we go. Yeah, that's good. We can carry on talking. There's ages till this starts, kicks in.
Well,
you're making
probably,
a collage.
Yeah, so I could be getting on with that, actually.
That'd be
did
nice.
You miss me?
I did miss you, yeah.
Aww.
I think all our listeners emailed in and said how it was a shame you weren't here.
Our two listeners were not bothered.
Hey, this is Reptilia by The Strokes, which is also something you do whilst masturbating. That's why the Reptilia bit. Okay.
It's good to be back.
Have some fun.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Ah!
Yeah, what do you think about that? Hey,
ah, it's
that,
new.
That's a proper jingle. That's not like, let's say...
Hey, it's just our first day.
God, so much has happened since I've been away.
Can you tell the difference?
No.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Yeah, Cam, one's done by man, one's done by a woman. Mm. You've been sexist, or something?
Yeah, sexist against men.
They've
that one wasn't as good. Except, remember, that voice sounds familiar. We'll try and work out who that is over the course of the show. So coming up on this week's Richard Herring on his own show, it is, we've got in this link, What's in the Bag is going to be coming up in this very section. That's something to look forward to. That's a section in which Lou has something in a bag and I have to feel it and guess what it is.
Only this week, the bag is my vagina.
That's all right, I'll give it a go. It's all good radio. We've got Dickie's Diary, which isn't called that. It's called Rich Chang's very important blog. We've got another selection from Meaning of Life, which is based on my internet, very popular internet video. It's already had 10,000 views on the internet, that show. It's not bad, is it? We've got a guest. Zoe. Do you know who the guest is?
Yes, Zoe Lyons.
Zoe Lyons, it is. She's terrific. Yeah. She's come from Brighton, like Amy last week, Amy Hoeska.
She came away from Brighton.
She came from all the way from Brighton, was on time and here and everything.
To be honest, I mean, I was getting paid more to be somewhere else. But I've got to be honest, I thought it might be better for my career.
You were very, very wrong. And we've got quirky news coming up. Oh, this computer's doing this thing again where it's
That's not your heading.
It's important.
That's not like your heading.
I don't call it quirky news. It's just the news. We're going to be looking at the news, and one of the things we're going to be looking at is breasts in the news again. So that'll be in the third hour. So
surprise.
A lot of 18 to 35 year old men listen to this radio show and they'll go, yeah. What? They're going to talk about breasts. I have to stay tuned in now because that's.
That's things about breasts.
They won't realise that we're going to talk about it from a very feminist and unsexy angle. If it is possible to have an unsexy angle on breasts.
Speak for yourself, mate. I'll be in the sleazy version.
You can get in touch with the show. You can tweet me at herring1967 or Lou at I don't really say at twice, do I? That's the first time that's ever happened to me.
Mm.
You can tweet me at herring1967 or Lou Sanders at Lou Sanders.
Sure.
But you have to put at, the at.
The at symbol, actually, guys.
It's not an ampersand, is it? It's an at symbol. Or you can tweet for at FUBAR Radio. Or you can email herring@fubarradio.com. So that would be very exciting. Yeah, it was Amy last week and she was...
Give a shit, mate.
She was very good. Although she told us a story, me and... Katie about how her parents had met by her mum had fought. They were skydivers, and her mum had fallen out of a plane.
Whoa.
And then her dad had dived out of the plane and saved her. And then they looked at each other. She told us it three or four times.
Yeah.
And then I brought it up on air, and she said, "That's not true."
What?
But my wife had believed it. My wife was very upset.
So you presented a radio show with a compulsive liar.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you. I mean,
rather than someone who compulsively has to say everything that crosses through their brain. So it was a very different thing. You've been staying at my house this week.
Yes,
there's nothing funny about it. It's not getting all 1970s radio DJ.
Separate
bedrooms.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's unravelled some of the mystery, hasn't it? I mean,
well, I didn't really see you, to be honest.
No.
So
I was telling you a story, wasn't I, while the song was on, how I shat myself the first night I was there.
And you said, let's not talk about that on
air. I've changed my mind.
We'll talk about
People
it.
People need
ahead.
To know.
What happened? How did you shit yourself in my house?
Well, I nearly shit myself twice.
Because Katie was saying today, my wife was saying today, that she thought one of the cats had weed in the lounge. Was that you? Were you just urinating and defecating all over the house?
Let's just say I enjoyed my stay and I had to mark my territory.
You did, with our cats around.
No,
what
once,
happened?
Actually, I nearly did after the half marathon as well.
You did a half marathon this week?
Yeah, 1:58, guys.
It's very, very good.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm a bit out on it. I don't know. It was under two hours anyway, definitely.
Good.
But I was running after the woman with the sign that said 1:58, and then I beat her.
Yeah.
But only because she had to stick to her time. But also, I'd lost my chip, so it's not exact. Anyway,
okay. Doesn't did you about. Really do it?
Could,
that's
really
very convenient. Yeah, oh, I lost my chip. Yeah, I did run the marathon, but I lost my chip. It's like Jimmy Savile. One of the worst crimes Jimmy Savile did was he got a lift halfway through the marathon.
The one.
That's the thing. That's the worst thing he did in my opinion. As a marathon runner, I find that the worst thing he did.
Oh, did.
He would then get dropped off halfway around. That is very dishonest.
He doesn't mean it, guys. If you were touched by Jimmy Savile.
Wow, it's all changing now. We're going to be in trouble. The lawyers, the red phone in the booth is lit up with the lawyers.
It's good publicity.
If you've been touched by Jimmy Carr consensually, that is fine.
Carr, then well done. I mean, he's a good looking
Tell
man.
Us about shitting yourself and then we'll move on with what's in the bag. I'm not sure I want to go into that bag and what might be in there.
I've been drinking a bit since my breakup, which I don't like to talk about. I've been drinking a concoction of different measures of different things.
Yeah.
And then I had a dicky tummy the next day, and your dear wife knocked on the door and said, oh, do you want some porridge? And I was like, oh, I'll be out in a minute. And I had to just check my pants, and sure enough, it was a small measure.
Had it happen while you were asleep? Or
no, I stood up too fast. The surprise of my new surroundings.
It's very rude to come and live in someone's house and just poo yourself in their beds.
Some people like it.
Well,
I looked at you and I thought, that's a sort of man.
We're not into that. Are you feeling better now, though?
I feel fine.
What
I
happened?
Feel
great. What happened to the piece of poo that was in your pants?
Do we need to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I don't want to find it, you know, stuffed in a bookcase or something.
Oh yeah, no, I just left it under the pillow, mate.
Okay. It's like a little welcome mint, a little ironic. Well, I've written such in some cultures that is a compliment to leave feces lying around.
I was there was no hairdryer in the room and no Bible. I was absolutely livid.
Trouser press though. We have a trouser press. So shall we have a go at what's in the bag?
Yeah,
just to get the show off to an amazing start. I'm going to.
What's in your bag?
Don't jump, drop things all through the jingle. People couldn't hear the jingle. We're going to have to start again.
What's in your bag?
That's better. Now they can hear it because there's nothing happening over the topic. What is in the bag? And Lou is looking for the bag. Maybe you should have prepared that before.
Do you want to just talk while I find
the bag? Yeah. So I've had a nice week. We'll be talking about it later, but I've been... informing people about International Women's Day by really... a lot of men were asking on that day, when's International Men's Day? And I informed them, Lou's scrambling around like a bag lady, ironically, with her bag. Oh, she's using my bag for a bag. She hasn't brought a bag. There's pencils on the floor.
Okay.
She's brought my bag.
Look, close your eyes.
She's got my bag, which has a...
Close your eyes.
Which has a... I can't close my hand and talk at the same time. That's ridiculous.
This is Lucky Dip with six items.
Okay, well, two of them I know, because some of my things are in here. So there is
lost the bag.
There's a cold bottle with a top that you would have to take off with a bottle opener. So I'd say that's a bottle of beer or ginger beer.
Close.
Lemonade.
Again. Ginger something.
Ginger.
Oh no, you got it right. Ginger beer.
Is that ginger beer? Is it the alcoholic ginger beer? There's my Diet Coke.
You looked at that. So
no, but I knew what that was. That was mine already. This is my bag. That's my sandwich from earlier.
Okay, well.
292 calories. I'm keeping the calorie count. Right, I found something. It's very exciting. And it's a slightly see-through bag. This is a stone.
No.
Is it some kind of crystal?
Yes. Okay, one other option. Don't touch it. It's my master crystal. Now, one other...
Don't touch it. You put it in a bag for me to fondle.
Okay, one other item you won't get. Go on.
Okay, I won't look. There's nothing in here.
There is.
There isn't.
It's a... Thing in that. I don't
want to tell you. There's a pill.
Yes, you have to guess what it is. Have to
guess what pill it is.
Yes.
Is it for your medication? Have you taken it today?
No.
It's very hard to tell. It's like one of those pills that, you know, has, you know, yes, the long yes. ones.
Guess
is it an aspirin?
It is? No.
Is it...
This is the worst game I've ever.
Is it for when you need to make yourself... You've eaten it, so I'll never know what it was. Is it a legal drug?
No.
It felt legal, I have to say.
It's MDMA.
Okay. Good, well, we've got a bottle of Krabby's alcoholic ginger beer.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I'm going through a transition.
Are you going to drink this during the show?
Well,
I mean, it's quite nice. They have not sponsored the show, but it is quite nice to drink it. I like ginger beer. And I like alcohol, so what can go wrong?
Beer makes your boobs grow.
And that's what I've found. But, you know, all it makes everything grow, really. Well, and one thing, it makes shrink a little bit. So we're here with now, I hope, Tom Veck. That's our real person. With a chore.
I didn't choose any songs this week.
Did you not?
I can't imagine they'll be very good.
Well, we can guarantee no Red Hot Chili Peppers. There will be no Coldplay. And no Prince. Coldplay's been added since you were last here. Coldplay is allowed on anymore.
Well, they do a lot of charities.
I played him at Trivial Pursuit, so, you know, I'm pretty good.
Richard Herring, ripping you a new ear hole.
That's just me on my own there, Lou. That's just in case, you know, one week you don't turn up or something. So that was good. Tom Veck, a chore. Oh. Didn't really like Tom Veck.
No, I'm not bothered.
Didn't like him.
I might
talk into the microphone.
I might get my own radio show, and then you'll be sorry.
I will be sorry
for various reasons.
Can I be your sidekick on it? Last week we had people. We got one email from last week that's worth reading out. Do you want to read that out?
It's
about pointless things you've stolen.
I'll do it in my best reading voice.
Yep.
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Well, already this man sounds like a bit of a tool. Hi, Richard and Lou. I have just moved house, and I admit I was quite drunk at a freshers' party when this happened, but I stole a microwave from the party.
A microwave?
Yeah, a whole microwave.
Like the actual oven, not just one of the microwaves within it. That wouldn't be a very good thing to steal.
The microwave from the party, because we didn't have one in our new abode. I mean, that is not a reason to steal.
That is just that's burglary. That's not like that's a pointless theft. I've stolen an expensive piece of equipment.
Honest, Rich, when I was at your house, you've got quite a lot of stuff I didn't have. I didn't think, well, I'll need to take it with me. We had to walk 45 minutes with microwave in hand. Well, in arm, I would imagine. And we had to keep it secret from one of my other housemates, who's a bit of a square.
Who is a policeman.
He's got a moral compass. He found out ages after and was outraged.
I'm outraged. Samuel what?
Sam in Clapham.
Okay, well, never listen to this show again. We don't want burglars listening to this radio show.
Sam, you're a bloody thief, mate.
If he'd come to your house the other day in your bed, he could have been a turd burglar. Get it? So just to liven things up, because, you know, I don't think Lou is unpredictable enough. I'm opening up the Krabby's ginger beer.
That was a clever what's in the bag item. Now I can drink it.
We'll see how that goes for the rest.
Can I just say I bought two?
Oh, did you? Good.
For the what's in the bag. Can I also just say everything's fine at home now? I am not a woman on the edge.
You don't get this on other radio shows. The presenter's just getting drunk. I mean, usually they wait till after the show, but that's good. Is it nice?
Did Amy Hawaska come on with her own beer?
She didn't. She did not. And it's actually, not really a beer. It's a soft drink. It's an alcopop you're drinking.
Alcoholic
really.
Ginger beer is... Oh.
It's properly alcoholic.
It's 4%. That would do. I'm only doing it to make my boobs grow because I've shrunk two cup sizes.
Have they?
Let's talk about that.
We can talk about that. So you've run a half marathon this week.
Mm.
And that's 150. I think my record was 155, so I am still better than you.
You little bugger. Yeah, but you've run probably loads of them.
I ran the first half of the marathon. I ran in under two hours, but not the second half.
Not the second half.
So did you find it all right? I didn't see you training. I suppose it was the week before you did it.
Don't need to. That's pretty good.
It is very good to do that in that quickly.
But you have done a whole marathon. When I finished, I thought, oh, I wouldn't like to do that again. And you did it twice.
I did.
That's horrible. How much time did you do?
4 hours, 17 minutes, 50 seconds. Mm. Just getting inside.
Very admirable.
Just inside the 4 hours, 18-minute barrier that all serious athletes are aiming for.
That's great.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
That's amazing.
But I couldn't do it now. I want to do another half marathon. I did the Royal Park half marathon last year, but I was very slow. I did that in 2 hours... 40, I think.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. So I've been doing it. I've been running a lot since then, so I think I could do better. So I'm going to try and do it next year.
Do the Hackney one in June?
No.
Okay.
It's too soon and I'm too busy. But maybe in October I'll do it. We'll see. I failed the first ballot to get. You have to get into a ballot to get into the Royal Parks. I'll get in one by hook or by crook. So, what I've been up to is, thanks for asking. Okay.
Hang on. What have you been up to?
I have been. Well, it was International Women's Day on the slurping your thing into and then smashing your thing.
Great times.
It was International Women's Day on the the 8th, and I've written an article about this last year, and I think it annoyed me last year, is that on Twitter and various other places, it's just full of men saying, yeah, but when's International Men's Day? Is this sexist? There's when's International Men's Day? And International Men's Day is on the 19th of November. So they're people who have a knee-jerk response to this. A, that they resent women having a day, one day themselves, which seems churlish to me, that we just celebrate women. And most of them should have, must have mothers and sisters. Some of them might even have female friends. I don't think they'll have that many. So I decided to this year to look, to search every for International Men's Day, and then everyone who said when's International Men's Day, I would tweet them and tell them that it was November the 19th.
Awesome.
But I did it about, I don't know how many times it was. I think people, someone was saying I was over 600 tweets. So I did it. They weren't all that, but
you are really committed to the cause.
I did. So I did it all day. And about an hour in, I kind of went, oh no, but the kind of people who put that will have put International Men's Day without the apostrophe. So then I thought I'd nearly done it. Then I found a whole load more. Then I thought, I bet some of them put International Man's Day. And they were even stupid. It was like they got stupid and stupider. And I mean, they're all pretty stupid. And then the last one, and then I thought, oh, and then someone said, have you checked National Man's Day and National Men's Day? So I had to go through doing all these different ones. I did it hundreds of times. But it was weird. I mean, it was annoying. I lost 700 followers.
I was going to say,
But I gained 2,300 followers. So because people, everyone was sort of tweeting about it. And if you look at my blog, richherring.com/warmingup, there is a storify. I'm telling the people at home, there's a storify of the whole thing. So you can relive it. But it was I'd started about 10 o'clock and I was still doing it after 11 p.m. Though I was out with my wife, so I wasn't doing it all the time later.
You should have like a medal for commitment to these services to women.
Yeah, but I was really trying to turn International Women's Day into International Richard Herring's Day.
Yeah.
Or someone said it should be Richard Herring's International Women's Day because I'd done so much for it.
Yeah.
So and I was making it. What I quite liked was I was making International Women's Day all about when International Men's Day was. But women, on the whole, feminists and women, and hopefully that would be a Venn diagram with the same people in it, but not entirely. They can do my house. They always agreed to come around and do my ironing for me. They mainly liked it, I think. I think the relentlessness of it was part of the joy of it. That and also it shows what women have to put up with, doesn't it? From stupid blokes. I mean, that's the least of it. in a way, there's worse things than that they have to put up with.
They're not having summits around the world discussing Twitter.
So I've asked people at home, we're not recording this live. You can join in with this by emailing us. We'll read out your email next week at herring at foobarradio.com. But I've put a call out on Twitter already, and a few people have for what is the most satisfyingly pedantic thing you've done, and someone's put I managed to sustain, this is Tom said, I managed to sustain the Guess Who Sang American Woman pun for roughly 2 hours in a long car journey. It ended badly. I don't know what that is about. Guess Who Sang American Woman. Don't know. Joined a publishing company to correct a typo in The Hitchhiker's Guide 10 years ago, which is what I'm listening to now, says Nicholas Blake. That's quite good. John Dredge, who does a good podcast called King Dredge that you can check in out. He says, can you be more specific about what you mean by pedantic?
Ah, nice.
That is good, because that is actually a pedantic thing. That's what the joke is there.
Yeah.
There was a few here. But do get in touch. You can text me, tweet me at herring1967. You can text me if you know my phone number. I'm not going to give that out. At 15 says, Floz, I refused to buy my friend lunch because she insisted on asking for a chicken sandwich rather than a muck chicken one. But then Floz then had to come back in and say, because she spelt Mac chicken, M-A-C chicken, and then she's come back, muck chicken. Actually, it may be that.
Sounds
she's
like,
confused about sounds, which one it is.
Sounds like a great day out.
So lots of people doing pointless. Have you done anything ever? Are you a pedantic person?
I'm sure I have. I mean, I'm sure. I do get tied up with petty injustices.
Do you?
But I can't remember. But on the International Women's Day thing, what we're talking about, back to that, I went to a breakfast meeting with 7 powerful women.
Yes.
And
they said, get out of here. What are you doing here?
You are not one of us. But it was really fun. We went to
like a fancy place in London, and we were all making jokes about what time does Tokyo open. But then we got into the topic of internet dating, as women do. Tinder sounds so depressing. I'll never go on it. It sounds awful. But they were talking about, most of them were married and stuff, but some of them were single. And one of them, when she was drunk, changed her tagline on her internet. This is so horrible. She was joking, and it was like a joke to herself.
Yeah.
But if you don't know it's a joke, it sounds so awful. Like, if you just saw it, it'd be awful. Her tagline, she changed it when she was drunk to, in for a penny, in... In for a penny in it's horrible. In for a penny half a grubby's down. Okay.
In for a penny. You've drunk a lot of that already. That is very impressive.
In for a penny, in for a pounding. Oh, she
on Tinder.
On Guardian Soulmate.
Oh really?
Yeah. And she thought it's hilarious, but then when she sobered up, she was like, oh, I better take that off.
And then when she got all the replies from guys saying, yeah, I know what you mean.
But then that is sexist because if a boy went there, it'd still be gross. But and another one went on a date on Tinder with her old school friend.
Oh yeah.
And his tagline was banter encouraged. Oh,
it worked
so
though.
So bad. No, she felt sick about that, but he was really good looking, so she went on one date, and then she was like, oh no, he is, you know, banter encouraged. That's it, Mariah.
That is a clue. It's nice people give clues. I wish Tinder had been around 10 years ago.
I bet you do. The whole thought of it makes me feel so... I don't want to be part of this world.
So what is basically, you get pictures of other people who are on there and then you have to go yes or no
it's
to them. Is that
the
basically
swipe
it?
Notion yeah. that does
get
my head.
Swiped
head.
Away.
I've heard about it. I've never been on it. People have showed me. But like the immediacy with which you dismiss someone with a swipe action and a tick.
They don't know though, do they?
They don't know, but I don't want to be part of this world.
I'm going to put you on. I'm going to put I shit the bed.
Tagline, shit the bed.
I get drunk and shit the bed. But,
hang on, guys. I don't think I'm putting my best foot forward.
Michael Cleary says, at work I corrected all the spelling mistakes in emails before I replied to them. For repeat offenders, I coloured the word red. God.
Oh, my God.
Jen Snow, not Jon Snow from Game of Thrones, said, told NUS president to turn off his mobile phone at OUSA conference. It was interfering with the hearing loop for deaf students. That is not that pedantic. That is quite that's a good thing to do. There were a few other ones. We'll have a look at that. This guy says in Watch Cat, it's a girl. Cat Arnsby said, watch 2 hours Game of Thrones with pals. Responded to every mentioned noun with your mum's a noun. I have no friends now. Quite like that, though. I quite like people being that persistently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the persistence I enjoy, as do some other comedians. Some people compared me to Stuart Lee when I was doing this. And I would like to point out I was doing this kind of thing, not on Twitter, before I met Stuart Lee. So who copied who? That's my question to you. And who is... And Stuart Lee...
No,
Stuart Lee
cares?
Does it all in 90 minutes or 30 minutes. I do it. I make my whole life a pedantic joke. When Stuart Lee gets out of the mainstream, then he can talk. I've no idea when we have to play the next record, so I am going to play it now. I've made an executive decision. No one's helping me out here today. So this is The Velvet Underground, who we played last week, I think. They're getting a whole lot of plays.
With Amy.
Oh, they're straight in.
Herring on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, that's right. Just me. Just
me.
We can have one with you in it as well. Here we go.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders ripping you a new ear hole.
It's like you think it's going to be arsehole.
You think
then
it is.
Then it's ear hole. That's the
comes
clever
joke. From left field. Oh, it's so nice. While that song was on, Richard was just saying how nice it is to have him back and how much he didn't really like doing it with someone else, the show, the radio show, and just how much he just wants me here every week.
It's so nice. What are you eating there? What's that strange little... You come in and, you know, I don't know if you take this seriously, this show. You've nearly drunk that whole... We've been going for 30 minutes. You didn't even have that right at the beginning. So
I'm trying to...
You've not about the whole thing. What's the little... It's like, oh, that's a crystal.
That's a crystal.
It looks like a little...
Don't take it
cookie.
Seriously. I brought my crystal along, mate.
Yeah. what does the crystal do? What is its magical
This is my
properties?
Master crystal. I did a Reiki course. And you have to have a master crystal. And
what does it do for you?
Well, it's like a little friend. I just put it on the desk, gets in with me. It's nice. And I'm definitely not having a mental breakdown. So
yeah, I'm not really into stuff like that.
No, I know. You're a scientist.
I am. Well, I'm a rationalist. And I like to see proof.
You're very stiff.
If it helps you, Lou, that's a good thing. But, you know, I'm just saying, I haven't got a crystal and I haven't shat myself for at least a couple of years. So, it's working out for me. We've got some more pedantic things coming up. Hairy Steve 20 says, I called my mate Sean a fat English bastard, hung me out of a window by my ankle and pointed out he was a fat Welsh bastard, which is important. Whoa. Gaz Woods, a lot of people playing on this theme. Heard in an argument between friends, damn you and your pedantism. It's pedantry, which is very good. And someone, I did say, what is your most satisfyingly pedantic thing you've done? And Tim Weisberg says, my job as, Christine Bushell, sorry, says, do you mean what's the most satisfyingly pedantic thing you've done? The most satisfying. No, I don't. I mean what I said. Tim Weisberg.
So a big fuck you going out to Christine.
Tim Weisberg said, my job as an editor, I get paid to be pedantic and stubborn. It can be quite satisfying. This all comes out of my my thing on Saturday, International Women's Day, where I did correct lots of men who said, when's International Men's Day? It was quite good fun just dicking around slightly with them and changing it as I went. Why wasn't there an International Men's Day? Or am I going to assume it's every day for 364 years? No, 64 days. No, it's November the 19th. Today is International Women's Day, and of course there's no International Men's Day. There is. It's November the 19th. It went on for all day. Can't wait for International Men's Day. It's November the 19th. That's so you will
so
have to wait.
So when you said earlier that you're very busy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know it's well. That is, in a way, isn't that my job? I saw myself as a sort of superhero, championing women. My power was to know when International Women's Day was.
You're the figurehead for women. International Men's Day.
I think you just need a little helping out, girls. With the feminism. I think if you let me come in, I reckon I can sort it out. Get
Richard
a man
Herring,
in.
Author of Talking Cock. Yeah, it's a figurehead for women's rights.
It's a very feminist book, Talking Cock. You must buy it. It's all about.
Buy it. I could have nicked one if I've seen the box.
You can steal one from my house next time you're around. But it's about. I found the Vagina Monologues whilst worthy and interesting and important. As a man, there wasn't very much in it for me, and I'm a fan of the vagina and all the other stuff around it, not just the opening to these women's sexual organs. They misuse the word vagina in it a lot. The vagina is, just a tiny part of a woman's genitalia.
Yeah, I learned that the other day.
But also, as a man, you're made to feel quite guilty. So I wanted to do a show where women could come and enjoy it as well. And I think, women are consumers of the penis.
Sure they are.
As much as men are.
Sure they are.
Some men are consumers of penises.
Sure they are.
Some men provide penises. Some, enjoy playing with their own penis.
Takes all right. sorts, doesn't it?
It does. It's important.
I had an interesting discussion with a lady the other day. That's when I learned what a vagina really was. I thought it was the whole package.
Yeah, no way.
The whole shebang.
You're thinking of the vulva, really, I think, aren't you?
It started off. So, if you've got children, daughters, what do you call it? Because after a certain age, a frou frou or a special place or a honey box or whatever you might call it. But in a serious thing, what do you call it? Because you want it to be empowering and. Yeah. There's so many disgust. Like, I grew up reading Viz and I loved Viz and I thought, as one of the lads, I thought it was really funny. But the words they use, like badly packed kebab and stuff, are so horrific.
Beef curtains.
Beef curtains, so horrific.
That's from Viz.
A lot of violent imagery and a lot of disgusting things, and women are made to feel disgusting. And so then I only call it things like rosebuds and positive things now. Yeah. But then what do you call it if you've got a kid? It's not a vagina, is it?
Well, a vagina, but penis isn't a very nice word for penis either.
At least it's penis. At least it's a penis.
Well, it's not, because it sounds like it's to do with peeing as well. It's my penis. Yeah. So it's kind of childish and, it's too, medical.
Maybe you call it, don't touch it.
It is difficult. Winky, it's not, they're all stupid.
Yeah, they're all stupid.
Maybe, I don't
know.
It's
not a gender issue.
It isn't.
It's a linguistics issue.
But it also, it's funny though, and as well. So that's the fact that it makes it funny. What is interesting, I think, about it, really, is if no one had a hang-up about it, none of it would be funny. It's only funny because people have hang-ups about it. So you get, what I love about Viz, and I think the best thing in Viz is the Rogers Profanosaurus. and how many different and almost poetic terms we can come up for basically the same seven things. And so, yeah, I mean, some of them are pretty disgusting, but a lot of them are, you know, a lot of the male ones, you know, purple-headed womb broom. That's a pretty unpleasant thing, and for both men and women.
Purple-headed, I mean, that could sound like a beautiful bird or, you know, like it's not as bad as badly packed kebab. Like,
that's, no, that's a pretty bad one.
That's really going to make you feel...
No, I wouldn't say it was a badly packed kebab. I mean, kebabs are pretty badly packed anyway, so...
Well, that's what they know, say
that is. That's what and then kebab you think, is. And then so it's a well-packed kebab.
But I was calling it that, and girls were calling it that, like thinking they were being lads and joining in, and actually looking back, that's not nice. Anyway, I've got a thing in about pedanticness.
Yes, what is it?
From Frankie McGinnity.
Pedantry, it's called.
Pedantry. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think I might have spelled it wrong. Can you imagine? Really opened the floodgates. Frankie McGinnity said, cross out the extraneous S.
Yeah. Can I just point out it's extraneous?
Extraneous S is on signs for St. James's Park. They must have spelled St. James's Park.
St. James's Park, because they put, so I guess they put James apostrophe S.
Well, they should or have asked might the not Queen.
But I think that's, see, I don't want to be pedantic, but I think that when I was at school, we were taught that you could do that. I think that's, that you could put like Jesus is and apostrophe S.
Right.
And it's
but
only
you were at
recently
in the 60s,
that's changed.
So things...
I was at school in the 70s. I was probably at nursery school in the 1960s, just.
I friended your dad up on Twitter and Facebook.
Did
Katie
you?
Told me
to. Don't tell anyone. I don't want anyone else to do that. He is amazing, my dad, on Twitter and Facebook, but no one is going to find out about him. He's a very big secret. So look, we're going to try out my... We'll see what I've been doing in my diary this week. Although they're from ages ago, if I'm honest about it. This is, again, I don't know what time we're at. There's no...
Diary.
I don't know. There's no clock in the studio. There's no way of knowing. I think it's all together, Lou. I think we're fine. So here comes Dickie's Diary, which is not called that. It's called Rich Chain's Blog. Because I will explain it.
Dickie's Diary.
Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary? Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary?
Welcome to Richard Herring's sophisticated blog. It's not called Dickie's Diary. Don't listen to that jingle. And don't listen to that jungle either. I love this country. We may get a lot of flack for being miserable, unfriendly and incompetent, but we're world beaters in so many areas. Let's not look at our cock-ups. Let's celebrate our victories. For example, do you know how old Britain's youngest ever convicted drink driver was? She was 12. 12! Not just drinking, but driving as well, and at the same time. Aren't you proud? That's right, a 12-year-old girl was convicted of this crime. It happened a few years ago on Christmas Day. The girl was at home with her parents, feeling a bit bored. We can all appreciate that. Einstein's first theory of relativity does state that time moves more slowly if you spend it with your relatives. On top of which, she lived in Swindon, so she'd had a couple of drinks. Then she stole her father's car keys and attempted to drive to Reading. She must have been drunk. That's the one place in the world that is worse than Swindon. No offence to our listeners just off the M4, but the places you live in are shit. And I think you have to admire the British police force. She was driving at 70 miles an hour down country roads, clipping curbstones. But thank God the police stopped her before there was an accident. And you do have to admire the British police force. They get a bad press, but generally they do a brilliant job. They make the occasional mistake, you know, but don't we all? That's why pencils have erasers on the top. Think of all the good things they've done, not those many, many bad things that you're thinking of now that are in the news. Ignore them and think of all the other good things they've done. Think about this from their viewpoint. They were presented with this girl. She's clearly 12. She can barely see over the steering wheel. She's driving recklessly and endangering lives. She's presumably uninsured. I think we can presume that. Yet in spite of all that, these officers still have the wherewithal to say, you know what? I think we better breathalyze her as well, just in case what we've got isn't quite enough to secure a conviction. I mean, she might have been drinking. She is 12, after all. And they were right to be so cynical, because that girl was twice the legal drink-drive limit. Though I don't think that's very fair, because those limits are set for adults, aren't they? One drink is going to send a 12-year-old way over. They've got a smaller body mass. That's why I quite strongly believe there should be a separate drink-drive limit for the under-16, so they can enjoy a nice Christmas drink before heading out for a Yuletide drive. When this story broke, the front page of the Mirror said, "This anonymous 12-year-old girl is the youngest ever drink-driver in this country. Previously, it was a 13-year-old boy. Turn to page 9. I was hoping to turn to page 9 to find an interview with the boy saying, well, obviously I'm disappointed. I always knew this day would come. I just never thought I'd be beaten by a girl. Interestingly, they named but the boy, but the girl's name remained secret. Maybe it's because once you're 13, you're sufficiently mature to be lambasted in a national newspaper, or more likely, once you lose your title, you lose your anonymity. But the real punchline to this story, and you couldn't make this up, well, you could make it up, you can make up anything. I just made up a dog with an ant's face and a dragon's penis. The point is, I haven't made this up. This is true. Do you know what the girl's punishment for this terrible crime was? She was banned from driving for 2 years. That girl can't get back behind the steering wheel of a car until she is 15. That is very, very harsh. That is a harsh punishment indeed. So let's have a look. We'll do another of my blogs now. Just going to select. Just looking through to select another one. I'm very professional the way that I do this. I think you will agree. I had one ready and then the computer just jumped around. Some people like when it goes wrong the best of all, but not me. I think that is unprofessional. So this is another one about the news. The latest report on global warming makes for depressing reading. With predictions of rising temperatures, flooding and worse. None of us are doing enough to stop it. And the thing is, we're not going to, are we? We're all thinking, well, I'll make the changes when everyone else does. Are you going to stop using your car? I'm not. I'm recording this in my car right now. I've got the engine running, the air conditioning on. It's making me a bit too cold, to be honest, but I've paid for this air conditioning and I'm bloody well going to use it. Scientists are only 95% certain that humans are the dominant cause of all of this, and with that 5% uncertainty, I feel pretty confident we can carry on with this reckless behaviour. One of the things we could all do to abate global warming is to stop leaving our TVs on standby mode. If we all turn them off properly, it would make a real difference. But come on, that would mean getting up out of your chair, walking 3 or 4 paces across the room, bending over and pressing a button with your finger like in Victorian times, then back to your seat, the whole palaver again. That is too much to ask. It almost sounds sarcastic when I put it like that, but that's not the whole picture, because the next time you want to watch the TV, you'd have to get up, it's another 4 paces, another bend, another button press, and back again. That's 16 paces, 2 bends, 2 pushes, 2 get-ups, 2 sit-downs. You can understand why people are reluctant to go to all that trouble just to prevent the destruction of human civilization and the planet Earth. In 50 years' time, this planet might be covered by oceans. Your children will be treading water, waiting, why? Why am I in the water? It's so wet. Why did this happen? I don't have gills. Why? They'll be told, well, it's partly because your parents left their TVs on standby. Oh, but they can't have known what would have happened if they did that. Well, the thing is, they did know, but think of it from their point of view, all that walking, bending, pressing buttons. Clearly, we can't stop any of this. None of us wants to cut down on pointless wastage of energy. So I've come up with 3 much easier solutions. 1, the oceans will rise, so how can we get rid of this extra water? Simple, we can drink it. There are 60 million people in this country. If we all drank an extra litre of water every day, more than we drink at the moment, and then just held it in, then 60 million litres of water, bang, disappear. That is the capacity of the Pacific Ocean. I'm guessing, it sounds like a lot. If that proves too much for your bladder, then you just have to go in the bath with the plug in. 2, we could evolve. If we all develop flippers and gills in the next 5 decades, then none of this will matter. We must all go out and procreate with fish and dolphins. This philosophy has led me to getting quite a few run-ins with the police. Don't they understand? I'm trying to save the world here. I'm like Bruce Willis in 12 Monkeys. I mean, not literally in 12 Monkeys. I'm in 12 Dolphins. 3, within... I'm not implying anything about Bruce Willis. 3, within decades, all fuel will be depleted, so I suggest our descendants start burning old people. Heat the planet with bonfires of the very people who got the world into the mess we're in. Us, the ultimate fossil fuel. We won't mind, we'll be old, and as we're engulfed by avenging flames, we'll all be complaining, ooh, it's a bit parky, isn't it? Pass me another cardy, because I am old. That is the way I behave. Hope you've enjoyed my blog. We'll be back with more of Richard Herring's interesting blog, Not Dickie's Diary. This time, next week, approximately.
FUBAR Radio.
That is what you're listening to. It's FUBAR Radio with me, Richard Herring, and my friend Lou Sanders.
It's clap
good.
Us back in.
She's good. She's clappy. She's good to have us back. Who did you run your half marathon for?
The A21 campaign. Great cause.
The A21, trying to make a new road in Wiltshire.
Actually, Rich.
What have they said
for
now?
Human trafficking. So the joke's, on,
pro
the, joke's
or
on the other foot.
Well, funding human trafficking.
Yes, they need some new members. They're running short of young kids.
How can I sponsor you if I wanted to sponsor you? I don't want to sponsor you. How could I?
Oh, go to Just Giving.
Yeah.
/ Lou Sanders, probably.
Yeah.
Or just go to A21 campaign, just give directly.
You could just do that.
I don't need the glory.
That wouldn't be as nice, though, would it? If
I don't mind. It's kids are being used for sex. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
It's not funny.
Listen, so don't laugh while you're doing it.
Listen,
I do a lot of work for Scope, and you know, I'm very into the charities. I don't like to talk about. I'm like Heather Mills McCartney. I don't like to talk about all the work I do, but I've raised over £250,000 for
have
Scope.
You?
Yeah, so I don't like to talk about it though. So let's not talk about it.
God, but I thought
I've been doing it for 10 years. I honestly thought, if I get that much money, they'll give me one of the orange, blue, or those blue parking badges. I can park anywhere I want.
Yeah, and they didn't.
Nothing, not a fucking thing. I mean, that's gratitude to you, isn't it?
Change camp.
Well,
you've
I might
done
do.
Enough of them.
I have done a lot. I might do that. I might go in competition with you in human trafficking.
Will they? No, I edited myself.
Edit yourself. It's a very rare occurrence.
Because when these songs were on, I was thinking, lucky I'm so fit, because it seems to me I've made some bad life choices.
It's going to be all right. It's nice to have. I'm here to help you, Lou. If you're having a breakdown, I'm always here.
You do a lot for charity. Assistance. I mean, literally.
I do. Are you ready to do a... I can't count this. This isn't a job. No one's listening to this, Lou. This is just me counselling you for 3 hours Tuesday, usually on a Tuesday. Yeah, sorry, you're listening to it a different day. Do you want to do one of your Take a Books?
Please.
Okay, well, let's do that.
Take a book.
I love the way we laugh at them every single time. I wonder if they'll ever get bored.
Oh,
let's do it. This
okay.
is your, these are the first pages of books that you are writing.
This is called Sasha and Her Buttocks. It's another think piece. Okay. It starts with a natty piece of alliteration.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't oversell. Take a book.
We've already done that. We don't need to do that. I love the way you cleared your throat.
Excuse me.
Okay, carry
on. Sasha sashayed into the room, the sunlight on her naked buttocks. They were only but covered by her woolen dress and sturdy pants. Everyone loved Sasha. She had an easy laugh and an easy vagina, apparently. Suddenly, Linda came in. She was mean and uptight. Oh, excuse me. Can I have a bed underneath this?
A bit of a
bloody bed.
I haven't really got anything. I'll give you this.
Do the sexy one.
That's all I've got.
Turn it up a bit for Atmos.
I'm turning it low so you can talk over the top of it.
A bit high.
This is quite nice. This is classy.
Okay. Suddenly, Linda came in. She was mean and uptight. We know this because she was ugly and a stepmum. The best characters get married right the first time around. Jason came in, swilling his coffee. Jason eyed up the two women. He liked his women how he liked his porno. Two shots, one cup. To be continued. Okay, that one wasn't very good. Don't worry, I've got another
good.
One.
Are you going to do the other one now?
I'm going to do the other one now.
You've got 2 minutes. So don't laugh all the way through.
Okay. Shut up, Richard. I'm going through a tough time at
do
home.
Do it seriously.
Okay, hot
have
girl.
Have another Grammy's alcoholic okay. ginger beer.
No, thank you. I'm a one beer woman. Okay, hot girls and toffee pudding. Tell us more. Melanie had never taken a lesbian lover before, but now with this totally hot honey woman who is a total babe, she just wanted to touch her breast and lick her different areas, especially her safe place, the middle bit. She wanted to do a good job and she had watched some videos on the matter and trained hard with a toffee pudding. Richard, don't look so... Richard! Okay. You're putting me off. As luck would have it...
Not doing anything.
She trained hard with the toffee pudding.
Yeah.
It's very reasonable. As luck would have it, you see, she had a spare toffee pudding in the fridge, which was on the turn since she'd been throwing herself into Zumba and step classes, trying to shift that last 20 pounds. Always not one not, she said to herself with a wink and began lapping at it like it was a hungry vagina. Okay, wait. Cut to months later, she's with the hot honey in question. I just go straight to cut.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's a valid literary technique.
She was with the hot honey in question, going at it like a wild turkey on ice, not entirely comfortably. Anyway, funny twist, the hot honey turned out to be a man. Gender confusion. They're both quite happy now and lived happily ever after until Melanie died from suffocation. It's got a twist. It's got everything you need. It's got a twist.
Suffocated during the... How was she suffocated? Or is that what you meant?
You don't need to know. You don't need to.
I don't need to know. Yeah, okay.
You don't need to know. You have to buy book B. I'm doing a new thing where you buy book A.
I've turned the bed off.
You've got a lot of questions.
I just thought, let's go.
You've got a lot of questions. You buy book B to find how it done it manual. Okay. How it, done it.
Good. Well, we've nearly done the first hour. It's incredible. It's flown by, hasn't it, today?
It's been very slow.
We've got loads of things. We've got loads of things coming up. In fact, very soon we have our guest Zoe Lyons.
Yay.
Who I'm very looking forward to meeting. Not just normal looking forward,
yes,
very looking forward.
Very much, Zoe, right. Very nice.
Let's not move into racism, not until the third hour. And there's also the quirky news, it's not called that, coming up. Meaning of Life still to come.
Uh-huh.
Teenage poetry still to come. We're gonna, that third hour is going to be jam-packed full of excitement. I can tell you that right now. But if we have to move on and play a song. It's the National. I think the National, after this, might be added to my list of... things we are not allowed to have on the show, but we'll see. I'm going to give them a chance, see how they get on with Graceless. So far, it's planned, but it's okay so far. We'll see how it is by the end.
Give it a chance. Graceless.
FUBAR! Wow, exciting. Yeah. We've got some new jingles. That sounds like a proper radio show. You are listening to FUBAR Radio. This is the Richard Herring Show with Lou Sanders. And here is our guest, Zoe Lyons.
Yeah!
Woo, that's my posse.
I'm clapping with your green beans.
The ladies are eating. Lou likes to bring things in to... I mean, it's not that long a time to get through without alcohol and beans. But Lou has brought through in some green beans with hummus, is it?
No, aubergine dip. Also, can I just say, I've got two beers and I'm only drinking one of them because I'm a professional.
So far.
Can I just say, I'm a really great person on the inside.
Well, you could offer Zoe an alcoholic ginger beer.
Would you like a crummy spoon?
Not when I'm working.
She likes to eat green beans. People are listening to this at home and you're crunching
green beans.
Do carry on.
It's very rock and roll.
It's an added feature.
We're trying to attract people to this station, not scare them off with horrendous. I don't like that when people are sniffing. So when the presenter's got a cold or something. Simon Mayo the other day was really ill.
It's like when you can hear people breathing into the microphone and you're like, oh no, stop.
Sexy,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Really sexy.
I went to the radio show and it wasn't going well, I'll be honest with you, because it was a political show and I really hadn't read a newspaper for a very, very long time. And the presenter was a bit of a cow. And halfway through the show, they wheeled in some cheese and biscuits and I just got up and just layered loads of cheese onto crackers and sat there and ate them really noisily for the rest of the show.
Wow.
I was never invited back, but it felt so good. Cracker rebellion just crunched my way.
It's really
thing.
Crazy to do that.
It is odd, isn't it? It's like bringing green beans and aubergine dip
to
a radio show.
They wheeled them in and then looked at me like I was an idiot. Well, as I ate them, I went, they're there.
I don't really see this as a show. I see it more as a little siesta.
I think we need to turn that around today, just in your head. So, Zoe, you've been doing stand-up for 10 years-ish now?
10 years-ish.
Unbelievable.
No, I know, man. Yeah. God. One day I'll get the hang of it. But until then, we're just going to keep ploughing on.
Yes.
Ploughing on.
And we were just discussing preparations for Edinburgh. So you're going to the Edinburgh Fringe this year?
I'm going to the Edinburgh Fringe this year. And suddenly dawned on me today I should start sort of sticking things together, really.
Nah, there's loads of time.
I've done all the admin-y faff bits.
Good. Have you written your 40 words for the Fringe program?
I've written the 40 words.
I haven't done that. I don't even have a venue yet.
I'm
playing it. Well, I've got a choice of venues, but because I'm trying to do a play this year and a stand-up show.
But
the play's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get some deal with one of the venues with our
Is it going to be a big cast or singing or dancing?
It's going to be quite a big cast and kind of faintly historical. So there was a snap of a green bean there. It just slightly threw me off.
I'm playing the little black boy, aren't I? Am I?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm playing a little black.
Are you up? What's going on? I apologise to anyone who understands what she's talking about. Are you doing a show in Edinburgh, Lou?
Yes, Lou Sanders in another great show again.
That's good.
10:30, Free Fringe, City Cafe.
Cool.
And is that what you've called it?
Yeah, Lou Sanders in another great show again. Yeah.
What are you calling your show?
What are you calling yours?
My show's called Mustard Cutter.
Oh, I like that. I do like that.
Yeah, it's just as a result of something a neighbour said to me recently. I've got a snobby neighbour and apparently our common ways didn't quite cut it. And I thought it's such an old-fashioned thing to say.
What did she say?
She said our common ways don't quite cut it.
No.
I can't have people thinking I live in a place like this.
Wow.
So I've just taken that and I use it as every opportunity now I can, just to air my feelings about her. She was mentioned on The Right Stuff on Channel 5 last week. I did a gig to about 800 people. We talked about her as well. It's very cathartic. It's the most beautifully passive-aggressive thing I think I've ever done. It's just not confront her and then just slag her off left, right and centre wherever I go. And now the show's going to be called that. And when the flyers are done, I'll pop one through a door. I love a passive-aggressive approach to it. I'm not a confrontationist person at all. I once had somebody sit outside my hotel room in a Holiday Inn when you're doing the Glees up in Birmingham. And somebody was sitting outside my hotel room using the Wi-Fi to Skype their boyfriend in New York. And it went on for so long, right? And she was like, oh, Bob, I miss you so much. And rather than just open my door and go, would you mind moving into your own room? I sat behind the door and just downloaded loads of videos so it sucked all the Wi-Fi away. It's just beautiful passive aggressive.
It takes longer for Bob to get the message over. Yeah. Bah, bah, bah.
You do forget, I think. I used to write blogs about when I was living in my flat in Balham, I used to write blogs about the people living downstairs and how annoying they were being and the things they were doing. And then you kind of figured they might actually read this. And then you sort of start to suspect they probably did read it because things would happen.
But this woman who I know, who's a comic, quite big, I won't say her name because it's not fair, but she took her daughter on a play date with, one of her daughter's friends, the mum of daughter's friend.
Yeah.
So two on a play date. And then she tweeted about how up their own arse, people have stoked the internet. And the woman saw the tweet and saw her for another friend.
You've got to be careful.
You've got to be careful.
Or not care.
Yeah. But then that's someone's feelings that you're,
Tramping all over. Yeah. Well, that's fine.
And it's funny.
I did that recently about a gig. I was sat outside and I sat with Facebook that I went, oh, I remember I wasn't going to do this gig again, forgetting that was a friend of the promoter on Facebook.
Well, at least you probably won't do the gig again.
I won't do that gig again.
For reasons out of control.
That's all good and fine. Oh, great. So whereabouts is that going to be in Edinburgh? Have you got a venue?
The Gilded.
Ah, lovely.
The Gilded Balloon.
Good. What, do you know
7 o'clock.
That's glass. It's all reasonable.
Yeah, I did 5 last year and that was perfect because you can just sort of do the show, come down from it, and then you're ready for dinner. And that's the most important bit. Yeah, about 7 o'clock, just get your digestive juices going again.
Get up to Scotland and have some dinners.
Just have dinners. 7 o'clock's a bit,
Have you ever seen a ghost, Zoe Lyons?
No, but I've witnessed a poltergeist.
Have you?
Yeah.
Hang on, what's the difference between a ghost and a poltergeist?
I don't know, we'll find out. Well, a poltergeist chucks stuff around.
Ghost is a spirit, isn't it, of somebody past. And a poltergeist is the energy of usually a young girl who's got... I went to university with a woman who... Well, she was a girl at the time, she was 17, 18. She was insanely intelligent, if that can be said. She was incredible. And she had problems with the poltergeist. And one night we were in her bedroom. It was classic because it was actually thundering and lightning outside as well. It was all the classic sort of thundering and lightning going off. And we were sat, me and my two friends, Penny and Paula, were sat in her room and we were talking about stuff. And then at one point, this box just flew off her wardrobe and then slid back and to across the floor. Wow. And the three of us just sat there like mouths dropped over. And Mandy, who had the poltergeist, just looked at it and went, oh, God, not again. And it was glorious. It was glorious.
No, that's because Brett Goldstein has seen the same thing.
Yeah.
And then you have, I just think there's a lot of mad comedians around who
I believe in it.
Have you ever seen one, Lou?
I saw a ghost once. She's just laughing. Yeah. I was like, oh, something weird. Like, it was just like a shadow going past, but was it a shadow?
Was it attached to an actual solid human being?
It was in front of me and it was like a white shadow.
Was the sun behind you at the time?
No. Anyway, if you're not going to take this seriously, I don't think I'm going to tell you.
I did witness another thing in a funeral parlour once as well, which was pretty creepy. My girlfriend at the time, her dad passed away, and they were in the room sorting out knobs and knockers, I think, as you do with the coffin and that sort of stuff. It's all very, there's a lot of admin involved. And I was waiting out in the reception area, and there was a door through to the viewing area where you could go and see said bodies. And as I was sat there, it just all of a sudden just vibrated like an earthquake in the door frame. The door just shook so madly. And then the handle dropped down and then pinged back up again. And that's all that happened. But it was kind of,
I think there's just someone following you around trying to scare the shit out of you.
Do you know what?
Because Richard is so cynical. And Shirley Bassey said, you should believe in everything. No, Shirley Bassey said, I believe in everything.
I think you should believe in nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
So what
nothing.
I would say is...
that you can't see with your own eyes. And this, even then, don't be
you
so...
You can, but she saw it with her own eyes. It wasn't someone else's eyes. Right, okay. Big shout out to Fubar Radio. If there's any ghosts listening in, please can I come and haunt Richard?
Yeah.
I'll give you the address.
Please do. I would love you to come and haunt me. I think Josie Long might be a ghost. I was talking to her last night in my podcast, and she had the car crash she had. You know, she had a car crash in there, and James Acaster.
Oh, yes, I thought, yeah.
Just, it's unbelievable they survived. And they just walked away completely unscathed. She cut her thumb on the window as she left it. Wow. So I think she might be dead. Or maybe I'm dead and I can only see dead people. That's what I think. Maybe you're both dead. Have you thought about that?
Only on the inside.
Whilst you're thinking about that, I'm guessing when it's time to play a record, because FUBAR Radio don't like living by the clock like other radio stations do, and we just take a guess when it's time to go, and I'm going to guess it's time for the Black Keys and Howling for You. I think you'll enjoy it. It's good. It's like got ghosts howl, don't you? So that's good.
Yeah,
it's apt. I chose that on purpose.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
And Lou Sanders and Zoe Lyons, who is our guest here today. And that's Lou clapping. And I don't think I knew this about you, but maybe I did, that you were in the reality TV show Survivor in 2001.
Some of my best work.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I watched that one. That was quite an early...
That was really early. Yeah. That's why I did it before reality TV became the sort of hideous... cobble-faced monster that it is. Yeah, it just seemed like a bit of fun, to be honest, when I did it. And I kind of went on it. I saw an advert in The Guardian. I was waitressing at the time and trying to do acting work and stuff. And I said to a friend, I bet I can apply for this and get on. I bet I can word it so I can get on the show. Yeah. And I did. And before I knew it, I was on a plane to Borneo.
So you're put on an island somewhere in Survivor, are you? And then
on a little island off Borneo. Wow. Yeah. It was actually quite tough because I lied horribly in the interviews, about fitness and stuff.
I bet I can get on this by lying.
Oh yeah, I probably did. And then when I got there, and there were people who'd done like ultra marathons and that sort. Not everybody was mega fit, but people were a lot fitter than I was.
Right.
And I struggled. So I just got through by backstabbing.
Really?
You're not a backstabber.
Oh man, when the cards were down, yeah.
You did quite well. You got to the last three or something.
I did actually quite well.
Yeah.
It was quite interesting. But brilliant diet. My God, I was like a pinhead when I came off.
So how long did it take? Was it like months or weeks?
I was on there for a month.
Right.
I was 8.5 stone when I came off. I'm so tiny.
Maybe I should go on this. Yeah. I'm on a diet at the moment.
I'm glad I did it because I feel like I've had an insider's view of the horror that is reality TV. You know, and thankfully, it wasn't that popular, so I've got away with it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I've done it. I've had this sort of weird insight into it, and it's kind of been forgotten. Yeah. So it's like,
do you still meet up with the other guys from Survivor 2001?
No. They've attempted.
Have you?
That was the hardest bit, being mixed in with people that hell is absolutely other people.
Yeah.
You can go without food and water, it doesn't matter.
And that was before you were a stand up, though, as well.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
So how did you get into stand up?
After the show, Nigel Lithgow was one of the producers.
Oh,
yeah. Nigel Lithgow,
He's an old twirly. He's an old showman. He's a twirly.
He used to be in the young generation with Leslie Judd. None of this will mean anything to you.
No. He said, you should do stand-up. And I was like, well, I've been thinking about it, but no disrespect, I don't want it to be... don't want anything to be connected to this show. So I had to leave it sort of two or 3 years, but while people forgot about it, and then...
Yeah.
And then I started after that.
No disrespect.
No disrespect, but I don't want to be tainted with this rubbish. Yeah, so...
I met Nigel Lithgow. I was a researcher on, like, some TV show.
Yeah.
And he was on it, and he had a real eye for the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Not this one. One of the good-looking ladies, I mean.
He's got real energy. He's a real character.
Yeah.
But it was an experience. It was an experience.
You wouldn't do it again, though.
Oh,
no. I'm a celebrity.
No.
Sounds like a good one, though.
I'm a possible bankrupt, get me out of here. It would be the only chance that, like, if if my livelihood absolutely... No, even then, no.
I think it's such... I mean, it changed your life. I've been approached about...
Have you?
Yeah, they said they kind of ask you if you're in... You know, they don't give you an
interested.
Offer. Would you be interested in doing it? Because obviously most people just go, or a lot of people just go no straight away. So I just went no straight
away. For
all of them. For Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. I was asked to do the Games, which, you know, is like the Olympics one, basically.
Yes.
That's not bad.
I would just be the stupid fat bloke running, you know, 100 metres in 25 seconds.
You're not stupid.
So all these... But then what's the point? You know, you got like a... I would have been 40 or so at the time when they asked me, I guess, or a bit younger than that. But they had all these young guys, tall, fit guys on. I mean, the boat race. They did a celebrity Oxford Cambridge boat race, which in a way is kind of almost worse than those ones. But
that's just the news.
I was training for the marathon at the time, so I kind of thought, you know, to train to row would be really good for my fitness. And also, I thought, there's 16 people in this. It's not going to be.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to focus on people, and they're not going to. I just don't want to be filmed when I'm asleep because, you know, I snore and drool.
Dribble.
And
we all do. Scratch
off. You know, yeah, and do whatever we do.
Wet dreams.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
24/7 shit ourselves.
Every bloody day.
On it.
Yeah.
So did you win the boat race? Did you?
We did. It was. I'm really glad I did it. It was an amazing experience. It was about this time 10 years ago. I think it was in March 2004. And, you know, I was never interested in sport really at all at university, and certainly not rowing, and I'm not the right size to be a rower. And I kind of didn't like rowers at university. And, you know, it was kind of interesting to meet those people and meet the kind of Olympic guys.
And the commitment, man.
Yeah. And then it was, you know, it was really, and you could eat so much. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You could eat so much.
That's what he's looking
for.
That's
what
he's looking
for, isn't it?
Yeah. In a reality TV show, that's what he's thinking about.
I've got a runner's watch, and it tells me how many calories I've run. But at the end of every run, I'm just like, well, that's two burgers and a pizza. Yeah. Have now, yeah.
Wow, brilliant.
That's
a big one. Yeah, it is a big one. I like my food.
You could have probably done. You look, Lou's just done a half marathon, so you look.
Lou. Which one did you do?
Hang on, which one?
Brighton.
It's close though. They're close.
Yeah. When was yours?
Sunday.
Oh, well done. How are you feeling?
It was really sunny, so it's nice. Yeah,
oh,
great,
lovely.
Great. I want to
do
more.
Did your legs hurt afterwards? I mean, did you get them when you're walking downstairs and things?
Clicky hips. Once I went on a ski trip, and this guy who was about 25. Shagged this granny who was like about 75, and with her husband, they had to stop halfway through because she went, my hips clicking, and it did have me in mind of her when I was walking down the stairs.
So this was a ski holiday.
Yeah, it was a ski holiday.
Wow, I never see those.
So a young man with an older lady, and I thought you go for it, my dear, for the older lady, because why shouldn't she? She's going
to die. Well, she's married to someone else.
Yeah, that's
that is against God's nature.
No, apart from that. Apart from that, I thought... Actually, I thought the whole thing was pretty unsavoury. Pretty funny.
It's pretty unsavoury on her skin. My grandma was still having sex in her 80s.
Was she?
She had a butcher. My granddad died, and then she sort of took a toy boy. She was a very vivacious woman, my grandma. And very young, 90-year-old.
But
she lived to 102. But she was you know, if you looked at her, you would have thought she was 65 or 70. But even so, she told my sister that the sex she was having with her boyfriend when she was 80 was the best sex of her life.
How old was her boyfriend?
He was 10 years younger than her, so he would have been about 70 at that point. Although then he died before she did. But they
she worked her way through them.
Yeah,
didn't
she did. In my show, I discussed whether now they're in heaven, which she'd been reunited with my granddad, but it's Ken Mott, also her lover. Yeah. Are they all together on the cloud together? And is it a bit
awkward?
Yeah. That you. What happens when you die, Lou? That's the question.
Reincarnation. I told you.
Okay. will my grandma meet up with her first husband in reincarnation?
Well, they'll probably be reincarnated in soul groups. That's what happens.
Is that what happens? Soul groups.
Yeah. But don't press me on it because it's really embarrassing.
It's like a Motown thing.
Yeah. Will the guy who has had sex with the 75-year-old granny be reincarnated with her?
He might be her baby son.
Well, that'd be weird though when they find out what they've done.
It's not
the hips going and everything.
It's not weird. It's beautiful.
I don't think that's
goes
beautiful.
In her, comes out of her.
Wow. Yeah.
She's a very odd woman, Lou, I have to say.
You've been hip start to go. Basically, you've been spatchcocked, haven't you? Really, that's what it is, isn't it? Like a sort of, you've been flattened to be sort of barbecued.
Yeah, if your legs would come off during sex, that is not all running.
What do you get Amy Hawerska's opinion on reincarnation? Huh?
Sorry, Lou couldn't come in last week, and so we had to replace her for the week. Oh. And she's, you know, I was just joking. Lou is slightly better at this job than Amy.
I'm his number one. He won't say it.
He won't say it, but it's in his eyes.
If you're around, Zoe, and you want to come in and replace...
Mind
you, but you like Poltergeist. I can't have you. It's good. We're like the original Odd Couple. You are a young, beautiful woman. I'm an old, disgusting man. Hey, you believe in crystals.
He's got the first bit right.
I do not believe in crystals. So I'll ask you another question from my store of emergency
of questions,
my ridiculous questions. This is an interesting question. I'd be interested to hear your answer to this one. What would it take? Have I asked you this before? I might have asked you this in Edinburgh. Have I asked you the Keith Allen question in Edinburgh?
No.
What would it take for you to fellate the actor Keith Allen?
Oh.
That is quite, you know, yeah.
She's really thinking about it.
I'm
very food motivated.
Are you?
Yeah. So, I'm like a terrier. Yeah. So.
So he had a couple of nuts on his.
If you work out how many calories it burns.
Yeah, it would have to be better than that. It'd have to be pretty special food.
Yeah. That would take the taste away as well afterwards.
Yeah. I'm thinking. Can we say sort of a 300-gram fillet steak?
Yeah.
Do they exist?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yeah, they do.
300 grams. Right, yeah, not 300 grams.
Well, you can have as big a steak as you like. I mean, you can have anything you want. You've settled for quite...
You see, I'm so British, aren't I? I'm just going, is a steak all right?
You've settled quite low. What about
Allen?
A lifetime supply of
steak? A lifetime supply of steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even a week's worth, I'd be quite, like I said, I'm quite food motivated.
Do you eat a lot of red meat?
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh yeah, I'll be dead by
not worried about
Keith Allen's dick. You know what I mean?
No,
it'll be red raw by the time we finish with it.
No, people always assume I'm a vegetarian because of the whole gay thing. They always do. They always just assume you've got some saving a whale behind a radiator or something, or wearing tofu shoes, and it's not the case. Meat.
Yeah,
Lou. No.
Yeah. Oh no, I was just thinking. I'm just thinking of the correlation of lesbians and
meat.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of, people always assume you're a vegetarian, aren't you, though? Because you don't like the because of the they're not connected, mate. They're not really connected. And if they are, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, I think. Yeah, you should be arrested.
Don't cook it before you put it in.
It's also maybe the Brighton is sort of mainly, it feels like a vegetarian.
It's
Brighton.
There's a lot of sprouting vegetables.
There are some nice vegetarian stuff. You will eat vegetables, though, right?
Eat a vegetable, but it's got to be accompanied by a bit of carcass. We did once go to a vegetarian restaurant in Brighton for my girlfriend's birthday. We just thought we'd give it a go. It was the most joyless meal I've ever had. We had to go out and have a burger afterwards. And there's no disrespect, but it was joyless.
It's now a good time to bring up the fact I am vegetarian.
It is a good time.
And I've only kissed four girls.
You need more meat in your diet. That's what you need. Protein. You need more protein.
Four girls is quite a lot to kiss.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah, and it's actually
that's more girls than I've kissed.
Borderline,
probably five, really. It's now a good time to admit I'm bisexual. I'm not. It's just like college years. You experiment, don't you? Sorry, Zoe. No, I mean
I did
bad?
With boys. No,
that's
you see, we did the other. Way. Yeah.
I just tried to get off with girls and failed at college. That's
so
what,
I've
that's
got
what
off with. I've got off with more girls than Richard.
I did kiss one boy at college.
Did you? Yeah. You see now. Let's
so it has come out now. Yeah. Oh, we've got to go to a record. I was at the Edinburgh Fringe. It was only a bit, it's only a harmless bit of fun, didn't it?
Exactly.
Didn't lead anywhere.
Oh my God, is this the first time you've gone on record saying you kissed a boy?
I kissed a boy and I liked it.
I did.
Yeah. Well, he's a bit stubbly. He had a little beard.
God, it sounds,
sounds like my first girlfriend.
Cool. With it on that bombshell, we're going to play another record to keep us going.
Right on time.
Oh, hello.
Back by the beach.
Is this really Led Zeppelin? I pressed the wrong one. No, it's the heat. It's Jungle, the heat. It's all right. I got the right one. Thank God for that. It's my first day. Yeah, we were ready. We're completely ready for that. Don't worry, Lou's definitely in the room. She's just going to be uncharacteristically quiet for a little while and stop munching beans. We weren't talking about other stuff. So we're still here with Zoe Lyons.
Hello.
From Brighton. You went to the University of York, I understand.
I did.
That was my second choice of university.
Was it? Where did you end up going?
I went to Oxford University.
Did
just
you?
I just thought I'd get that in. Yeah. But I'd love to have gone. I love York. I support York City Football Club, who are doing well at the moment after a poor start of the season. Did you enjoy York?
I didn't, to be honest with you. No. It was my first encounter with real proper public school idiots. And I had not been exposed to that prior to that, because I went to school in Glasgow.
Right.
And I got down to York. And I was like, oh, my God.
And they're the worst kind of public school people because they couldn't even get into Oxford.
No, they're second-class public school kids in maroon cords.
Even with that massive education, they still couldn't get into
it. I found it highly distressing. And I had fun at uni. I didn't really study. I just did a lot of other stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, me too. And with the same thing, I was very intimidated. I came from like a Somerset comprehensive school and I was thinking, oh, everyone's going to be so clever. It's Oxford and everyone's going to be so posh. And so you kind of think, you know, it wasn't until it got to the end and got a reasonable degree without doing any work and went,
if
they told me I could get that, I could get a 2-1, I'd have worked and got a 2-1. So it worked out quite well. I didn't do any work and I messed around. And
did you get a 2-1 in the end?
I did get a 2-1. I don't know how. I really don't know. Did you?
That was a miracle in itself. It really, really was.
Because I'd always worked really hard for exams and I didn't work at university at all. And so I still dream about it. I dream about my final. About having to postpone, going to my tutor and saying, can I postpone for a year and I stay at university for
another year? What did you study? Was it English?
History. What did you do? Psychology.
Psychology. Wow. Yeah.
That's a gritty topic.
It really isn't, Lou. It looked a lot more interesting in the brochure.
What is the most interesting thing you've learned?
Absolutely. Sod all, I think I can tell you. Actually, do you know what I did learn? I did my final year project on internal and external locus of control, which is whether you believe in luck or chance.
Yes, Richard Wiseman. Very interesting.
Or whether your own efforts have more. And it was quite interesting. And yes, if you believe in luck, well, good luck with that. Yeah, really. If you feel you have control of your own destiny, you generally do better in a stress test or in some form of exam. That was quite interesting.
Well, the other person I told you last night for the Leicester Square Theatre podcast was Danny Baker, who basically lives his life just spending all of his... He gets money and he'll spend it even before he's got it.
Really?
He doesn't plan for the future. He's got no insurance. He doesn't worry about what's coming next. And it all basically works out for him. You know,
he's not been well, has he?
He wasn't well, but he didn't... You know, I think he actually did borrow some money from Chris Evans in the short term to get through that. But... But yeah, he's fine again now. So he's got through it.
Yeah.
He doesn't, but none of it, he says, I didn't learn anything from having cancer. He didn't give me any epiphany. It's not about fighting cancer. It's just you're the battleground and the doctors fight it. And if you're lucky, you survive. And if you're not, you don't. He's an amazing guy though. But that philosophy of just going, I'll just live my life. I really like it.
Because it's so easy to get bedded down with all the flim-flam of life, isn't it? I've just got approved for a new mortgage today and I let out a little whoop and I went, oh my God, your life is over. Your life is over, Zoe.
What do you mean
Lyons?
A new mortgage?
Well, when you remortgage after a couple of years and the paperwork came through that we've got it, and I was like, yes! And then I went, you used to dream about backpacking around South America, smoking your way around the countries of Central America. Here you are going, I've got an amazing deal on a rich mortgage. Your life is effectively over.
You can still go on a holiday to Chile.
I can.
Have the middle ground.
Yeah. I went to Honduras last year.
You see?
Not mainland, an island off Honduras. That
Where is Honduras?
Central America.
Oh.
It's quite exciting.
You're already there then?
Yeah.
I mean,
But it's just weird. I like the idea of Danny Baker's idea that you just sort of... That would be great.
Well, he said he went on, he just wanted to go on holiday to Hawaii and didn't have any money. He went to the bank and said, I want to go to Hawaii for a month. And they said, well, you haven't got any money. He said, oh, it's all right, I've got something coming in, and just lied about it. And they lent him the money. So he was in Hawaii with the money that wasn't his and had a brilliant month, and then just said, you know, if I get in trouble, they can't take the month in Hawaii back off me. So, but I think that's true, because a lot of people, I mean, that's what I think... I think like a lot of the problem with the recession is that rich people are sitting on their money and not spending it. And you kind of think, why earn all that money?
And not spend it.
And then just keep it, you know, somewhere and buy a flat that you're not even going to live in, or buy a painting you're never going to look at that you hide away.
I have a real problem with people who have obviously got an awful lot of money and still walk around with faces like a smacked arse. These women that you see in London sometimes in the white Range Rovers with the big high-definition sunglasses on. They've got that po-faced, oh, God, it's so dark. Being so comfortable. And I just think, come on, love, crack a smile.
Yeah.
You're driving a Vogue.
But I also think, and as a it's something probably that, you know, only self-employed, I mean, it's a real show business thing, because, A, you know, Danny Baker gets paid, will not earn anything
anything for a bit, then get paid a stupid amount of money for doing something that would do for, you know, that we all know we'd kind of do a lot of these jobs for less than sometimes what they would pay us.
Green beans I'm getting today, love.
I would do FUBAR Radio for nothing. They don't understand.
I
would prefer twice as much as I'm getting. But, you know, so you get that opportunity to have that money and spend it. So it's kind of a weird place to be in. But, yeah, it is. I think also, but as a creative person, if you're comfortable, if there isn't something stretching you, then it's hard to make yourself do work as well. My philosophy is, if I ever have any money, I'll spend it on something so that I can then...
I always get the motivation to keep going.
I've got to carry on going. Yeah. I've still got a mortgage to pay, so I like having a mortgage because I think
it keeps you,
if I didn't have a mortgage, I would just go,
sod it.
Fuck FUBAR Radio. It's a long way. Caledonian Road, that's a long way from my house.
I think not having kids as well kind of makes you kind of go, I mean, I've just got the dog, and you think, well, he'll be long dead by the time I'm going to leave anything.
Yeah.
Also, you just kind of think, sod it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will spend my last penny with my last breath. Penny chocolate. Well, croak it.
You've kind of won if you do that, if you manage to spend all your money.
If you leave with nothing.
Yeah, exactly nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
No debt for the next generation, or whoever's taking over, but nothing left for anyone else. Then you've won. That is a victory. How's your quest for your house going? Lou's trying to get listeners to email in money for her so she can buy a house.
I know, I don't want it anymore.
Reverse psychology.
So far, you should know all about that. So far, nobody has got in touch.
Well, that's why I think no one's listened to this show.
Well,
otherwise they'd be in touch with an offer.
Well, just email.
Just pure cash.
Oh, cash or a house. Someone dying and leaving their house. Preferably be an NW5.
Just so we know, if you're listening to the show, could you just email herring@fubarradio.com? Just say, I am listening, and then we'll know. And if no one emails, we'll just come in and we'll just dick around and not do this.
I love the second beer, mate. If
not have this highly worked out. I mean, we've scripted this down to the last minute.
I've done jingles.
Yeah.
Have I not?
You have.
8 or 9 of them.
Yeah, like this one.
Hey. It's just a birthday.
Do the jingly massive one.
Jingly massive. I don't know. Oh, there it is. Yes, it's right there.
This is just
a jingly massive.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Lou just did that herself.
So many jingles.
Doesn't sound like it, but she has literally just done that herself.
So many.
So I'm going to ask you another question of my brilliant questions now. I've got brilliant questions.
Brilliant.
If you had to choose between having a hand made out of ham, I know you like meat, and an armpit that dispensed sun cream, which of those things would you have? You can eat a bit of the hand and it'll grow back, but if you ate the whole hand, it wouldn't grow back.
Okay.
But it's a made of ham.
It would still,
you'd leave a residue on stuff if you touched it.
Yeah.
It would still work as a hand. Could use which
hammy.
Hand. Yeah. Or like a lifetime, it'd just be enough sun cream for yourself. You wouldn't be able to make a business out of it.
I think I'd go for the sun cream.
Would you?
Even though I do like the ham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You live by the seaside, so you can go down.
Yeah, I think the sun cream would be a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not very good at putting on sun cream, so at least if it was there in the armpit, there'd be no excuses.
Your armpit would be really fine.
Just dispensing just all down myself.
Yeah.
And you'd smell nicer, defo.
Yes, would it be a high quality sun cream?
Yeah, it would be, but you'd have to choose what factor.
Like a Hawaiian Tropic.
Okay, you choose, and then it'd be there, and it'd
smell like a mango.
It grows. There's a gland in your arm that grows.
I mean, imagine you're at a gig. Oh, is that lovely woman who smells of tropical
coconuts
there, or is that woman who smells of ham there?
Yeah, because ham, as much as I like ham, it can
sweaty.
Yeah,
and your dog might.
That would be also awkward.
It would be difficult if you fell asleep when you woke up, no hand.
Would you rather? Okay, here's my would you rather. Just thought of it. Would you rather it's really horrible. Would you say you had kids? Would you rather? Oh, no, I can't. It's too horrible. I'm not going to say it.
Go on, say it.
Would you rather
nothing's too horrible for you.
No.
You've done racism so far.
And that's so
change it to something less horrible.
Okay.
I want to know what it was. You have to tell us what it was.
I'll tell you after.
Okay.
This is lame. But if you had a kid, would you rather they were bullying someone or being bullied? That's a classic. It's not what I was going to say.
That's really hard, though.
I was going to say rape.
Yeah, that's difficult. That's
really it's such a moral quandary.
It's such a moral quandary. And awkward at a birthday party if you've got a...
Guys, I'm not... I'm anti it. I'm just saying.
But, you know, I sort of think all kids are bullied and bully. It's just you only remember the kids who bully you, I think, and you often don't remember when
I never
you,
bullied anyone, but I did hit someone in the face.
That is bullying.
No, for bullying everybody for years, and I was like, I am sick of this.
Yeah.
And she started all these rumours that were true. And I just went over and I said, Emily...
you need to have this, and I punch her in the face.
Yeah.
And everyone's really pleased, but they didn't say to Emily they were pleased, they said to me they were pleased.
And
but
then she goes, now she says that Lou Sanders off the Russell Howard show, she was a bully, she punched me in the face once for no reason. That's it's just how you remember. I don't think many people would see themselves as bullies.
I was bullied at school by somebody who then tried to befriend me on Facebook a few years back, and it was quite weird.
Forgiveness is a very powerful tool.
Nasty.
Avril McKenzie was her name.
It's okay.
Yeah, there you go. She's out there. Yeah.
We can look her up on Facebook herself.
Yeah. Apparently she's now living in a caravan with six kids, so I win. So
also, I think when people do bully, they're only going through hard stuff at home. Like, I totally forgive Emily Johnson, and I probably was a bit annoying. But I think that people are just, like, I think everyone should forgive everyone. Because
that would be the nice thing to do.
There were kids I bullied at school, like you know, with my words.
Annoying ones.
Yeah, but no, there were, you know, you'd pick on. It's just like the way the world works, especially for kids, is that like there's someone who's weak or someone you can take the piss out of. Often kids will do that. I think even at university I did a bit, because you're trying to not be in the,
not to be that person.
That person. So then you see weakness, and then you think you're being funny by mocking them, and then you think, that was really horrible.
The
I did to that person.
Kids at our school, like one had literally weak. They had a throat thing, you know, like
a clunky speak.
Yeah, they had like a actually doing an impression.
Were they a darling?
Nice. I was going to say, were they a natural child or one of those dolls where you put a string?
But they never got picked on because one had no neck and he didn't get picked on.
Where did you go to school?
I went to a special school, yeah. Yeah, that's right. But they never got picked on, hardly ever, because they were already.
They had massive shoulders, but with having no neck. So they could just take it.
But we didn't pick on the work. We picked on the kids that needed taken down a peg or two, not the ones who were already deformed. Because
it sounds like most of them were deformed.
It's time for it. I think it's time to play another record. That's what I'm thinking. So this is London Grammar. Hey now.
Hey now.
That's Hank Kingsley's catchphrase. I hope they will bring that up in the song. We'll see.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders. Ripping you a new ear hole.
Bang!
It doesn't say Richard Herring and Amy Hawaska, does it?
It doesn't, but not yet. And they'll be very annoyed if we have to re-record that. So make sure you turn up as many times as you can. So we've got some gigs coming up that people can come and see, Zoe Lyons. This is our last little section.
Excuse me, I'm eating currants now.
What's going on? There's a massive bag of currants.
I'm a woman with snacks.
Yeah. I know, but it's
they're healthy
nice.
Snacks, though, Lou.
I'm going to do a tip section.
Well,
anyway,
raisins are quite calorific, though.
Are they?
Yeah. If you eat that big packet of them.
I'm not going to eat a big packet, am I?
You might
Windy
do.
Pops.
I don't know what.
Windy pop pops. It's a small room.
Anyway, sorry.
Where am I?
What were you saying?
Glasgow Comedy Festival I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
26th of March.
Cool.
That'd be nice.
Oh, yeah, I'm up there about then.
At the stand,
then.
I think. Yes, at the stand. And then doing Altitude for the first time.
Oh, are you?
What's
that?
Yeah.
Out in the Alps. The Austrian Alps. Doing that at the end of April, I think it is, or the beginning of April. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's
good. I like skiing.
That's really great news.
Yeah. Let's combine the two.
I went skiing for the first time, but I didn't enjoy it. It hurt too much.
It hurts when you're learning. Yeah. You need to learn when you're a kid and you're tiny and you're
sensitive. It's too late for I'm not a kid now. I'm a grown man.
He's very risk averse.
Are you?
He takes all his risks in the bedroom.
as Lou found out this week, we stayed at my house.
I didn't.
And the Underbelly?
Underbelly in June, 6th of June at the Underbelly on the South Bank.
That's nice. That's a lovely gig.
Yeah, I've never done it before.
You've not done it. That's really good fun.
I look forward to that.
It's good.
And
are these working up to the new show or are they old shows?
Yeah, then Edinburgh, August.
Yeah. So you've got to do the new show at the end of the month in Glasgow, or are you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, in theory.
That'll be all right. And how do you do that? How do you prepare for a new show? When you, do you do bits of old material and then work in new stuff? Or do you
I'm constantly changing my club set, so I'd sort of add bits and then during the course of the year I'll see how I can randomly stick it together and you go, oh, that could relate to that and that can, oh, there you go, there's a show.
Yeah.
But I quite like doing that bit where you're sort of sticking them together. I quite like writing the bits in between.
Yes.
Just the sort of convoluted ways you go, I'm going to get from lobster to the Syrian crisis. Yeah, here we go. Here's a little segue.
So your show's about lobster and the Syrian crisis. Sounds great.
Lobsters do occur in the show. There are lobsters. It's a classy show.
And do you take the theme and make it the theme, or is that the main routine that you're named after, and then you can do anything you like?
I think I take a really loose theme, yeah. So it's really baggy, but at least it kind of concentrates the mind in some way, so you're not just ping ponging all over the place. And then you got to Edinburgh and you do the first night and you realise this is nothing like I described the show as it would be in April.
No, that's the problem. You've got to write this thing. The 40 words is meant to be written by tomorrow, I think. Yeah. I think there's a second deadline, I hope, because I don't have a venue.
If you just use random words, it's fine.
How about you,
the show.
Lou Sanders, how do you come up with your stand-up shows? Is it literally just coming up and saying...
Divine intervention. Like the fellow who did the Sistine Chapel, Mozart, I just channel it. Throw a biscuit out of someone, there we go, that'll be a punchline, thank you.
And you've been doing the circuit for 10 years then.
Yeah.
And we will briefly go on this, but you know, we don't have to talk about it for very long, because, you know, Lou's got raisins to eat.
There's a bag of raisins.
So this week, in comedy circles anyway, there was quite big news that one of the clubs had, one of the promoters had booked 3 women out of 5 for a gig, and then the gig had asked to not have so many women on. And so one of the women got, and then foolishly, the person who told her the reason they could have got away with it. They said, there's burnt down. That venue's burnt down. No women are allowed in there. So do you find that you're finding that you never do gigs with other women, or are you?
No, it's rare that you're on the bill with more than one other woman. It's rare. But
which you must hate because you're a lesbian, right?
I know, man. When am I going to get my... I'm happily married. I run a gig in Brighton and we had 4 women on the bill the other day, and the audience don't notice.
No, they don't notice.
I know you used to. When I first started 10 years ago, I'd often walk on stage and the front row was just sort of bald-headed blokes. I go, oh, God, it's a bird. I've had that done. Mm. Yeah. And they'd either stand up and walk out or just fold their arms and look the other way. Mm. And every now and again, you get one of those in an audience.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Oh, I had one the other night. It was brilliant in Leeds. He was like, I'm not having this. I'm not laughing at... That's a lady, not doing it.
Wow.
So the whole table around him was laughing. He just had his arms folded, got his phone out, and just didn't engage. And it just makes me laugh. it really makes me laugh. It's crazy though, isn't it? Promoters still panic. These little venues where I'm sure this happened. I'm sure it was a little venue.
Yes.
Where perhaps even stand-up is new for them.
Well, that's possible. I mean, I think the thing is people have that. There is a lot of people have this prejudice that they think, women can't be funny, which I don't know if they never meet any women. It's sort of like an odd thing.
It's a very odd thing more to suggest that half the population.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the blokes that say it, you go, you must have met at least a woman with a sense of humour, because if you've ever had any form of sexual relation, you're going to require that in a lady. You know, it's bizarre. Yeah.
But I think maybe there are men, which again, I don't understand, because I've always liked women who make me laugh, and men who make me laugh. But you know, maybe they want to be the funny one in a room, so they think it's not a woman's role. Perhaps possibly is what they're thinking.
It's such an old-fashioned view, isn't it? Because jokes were told by blokes down pubs, and then jokes were told by professional blokes down pubs with you know, professional jokey tellers with spinny bow ties and stole each other's joke. And it's moved on.
It's really moved
on.
You would hope so, but it has. But it's impossible to. If someone goes, I don't like anything. If I think this is funny, then they're not going to. It's that guy isn't going to find you funny.
In defence of blokes as well, more often than not, after a gig, I'll have a woman saying to me, I don't normally find him funny.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But
you
funny, and I'm like, we have nothing in common, sister. Back away, back away, and then dangerous heels.
They think that's, and they tweet it as well. I usually find women.
Yeah,
but lots of women.
So it's as bad from the women as it is from the guys.
It's not. Hopefully it will disappear as an idea. But
it
we'll
will
see.
As an idea. Women.
Women. Yeah. I just hope eventually we'll all
stop making a fuss.
I think the idea of there being different sexes, I'm hoping, will disappear. That the human race will just evolve into a kind of homogenous, self-impregnating animal.
Yeah, and then sort of action men with no genitals.
Yeah, that's ideally what I would like. I doubt that will happen in my lifetime. But
I really hope it does.
We can hope. Vive la différence.
dogs is what I say. No, I say don't live the difference. Keep the difference out of there. And you did, and you've done, you do the right stuff, which I've done a few times. Yeah. You do that quite a lot. Or I've seen you on there a few times.
A few times, yeah. I quite like it. I feel employed. Yeah. It's great for a comedian. You're like that. I've got a job for a whole 5 days.
Yes.
I am employed.
What do you do on there then?
It's a bit like the newspapers.
A bit like this.
Sometimes we give opinions on things, and then you go, I've got other opinions if those opinions weren't appropriate.
I can switch my opinions to the opposite.
To make me be more popular. And it's actually a really good show. I like Matthew Wright a lot. He's a very smart man. He's very on it. Mm. I've met some lovely people doing it. It's a bit of a laugh. I enjoy it.
It is.
Really
I've done it a few times. I was on with Carol Thatcher and just after she'd done her whole... Gollywog incident, but she was unapologetic and weird. But it's, you know, I do like him as well. Yeah. I think he's you know, he does know what he's talking about. He's clued in. It's weird to, you know, he's been doing that for a long time, that show now.
So he's been doing that to keep the energy up and to keep on the ball like that.
Yeah. I bet he's into some funny stuff though.
He's very into prog rock.
I think he's probably quite boring, actually.
No, I bet he's into all sorts.
But the audience of the right stuff are something to behold. The people who come,
absolutely,
the people who come along to watch it being
but
filmed.
But any audience of any daytime show are a miracle. Just the fact they've made it there in the first place is astonishing.
Then I do enjoy them.
And a lot of women called Pauline, no doubt.
They probably are. And you've done Michael McIntyre's Roadshow.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah. I was thinking about. I put it on as a credit on a poster the other day, and then I went, "Hang on, how long ago was that?" Now it's about 4 or 5 years.
They show them all the time. I saw it the other day, so I think it must have been on. Maybe it was on Dave or something, but it was. Or maybe
it's on
back
Virgin
on the,
Airlines. They're using. I flew to the States a few months ago, and I was like, "Oh, there. That's awkward.
That's great."
It's horrible seeing yourself on telly.
Love it.
Glue wouldn't know about that. Glue doesn't know. I don't. It's too long ago for me to remember. I feel like when I see the stuff I did in the 90s, I watch it and I think, is that me? That's some other guy surely that was doing that. It's kind of bizarre. So I'll ask you another of my emergency questions.
Emergency? Are we at the bottom of the list now?
I'm getting down.
Can I see which one?
A secret. They're all secret. If you had to choose between being a badger or a cow, this is a question by an 11-year-old schoolboy.
Yeah.
Which would you rather be, a badger or a cow? I think it's quite good because they both have been a bit in the news.
Yeah.
And they're both black and white.
It's very topical.
Not always, though.
Badgers
nice
are brown, are brownish.
I think I'd go for badger.
Would you?
But I'd have to be a badger with healthy lungs and a very good road sense. Because you don't want the old TB.
No.
You don't want to be a Victorian badger just collapsing into your own petticoats, coughing speckled blood into your hanky in a field somewhere. You want to be a strong, strong, noble badger. The sort of badger that would appear on an ale bottle. That sort of, Buster Badger.
Yeah.
That
it's a very
sort
strong
of thing.
Choice, actually, though. Yeah. Yeah, really strong.
Well, it's interesting.
Cows, I don't like cows. I don't trust them.
Oh, really?
Nope, never trust a cow. And my friend lives in the country and they're surrounded by cows and she goes marching through the fields. I'm like, don't trust them. Just don't trust them. Don't turn your back on a cow. Don't turn. No. Unless it's in a bun.
How many times have you been attacked by a cow?
I've been chased by a cow.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. We went walking once with my dad up in the Highlands and there were cows there and I went, Dad, I don't want to go any further. I was only a kid. And he went, don't be silly, there are only cows. I said, I really don't want to go any further. And then the cow sort of parted, sort of like in a sort of cabaret, sort of to reveal the bull.
Wow.
And I went, we're not going any further. And we ran down the hill. Yeah.
But also, you know, the badger is a free animal. He's not corralled.
Doesn't get milked.
And the cow is like a sort of slave, basically.
Yeah.
That you then is imprisoned and then killed.
Yeah.
I like the way that Richard was explaining that to me.
But I think that's why it's an interesting question from the mind of a small child.
No, I'll go badger every time.
You wouldn't drink badger milk, would you? I mean, it'd be hard to catch them and milk them.
I wonder what a badger would taste like.
I drank, to actually eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not great.
Yeah.
I was thinking that about my cats today. I wonder what they would actually taste like if the worst came to the worst. And I had to eat my cats.
Yeah.
And I decided they probably wouldn't taste. I think dogs probably would taste okay, but I don't think cats
would. Dog must be all right.
Badgers, I
can't look at a greyhound without thinking, lovely drumsticks. Don't you ever look at the hind legs of a greyhound, just go, oh, yeah, look at that.
No.
Just me.
It's where, you know, I think if you eat animals, sorry to keep on talking about eating animals, Lou, but fuck you.
But you know, so, if you eat animals, I don't think you should drive. When people go, oh no, I've eaten some horse, oh my god, you go, yeah, you eat cows and you eat pigs, what's wrong with you? You
it's
eat, just, it's just another animal.
It's exactly the same in the human world, isn't it? If you're cute, you can get away with anything. If you're slightly ugly, you're screwed. You're screwed.
I always think about eating out of date food or talking about shitting yourself.
That's the 12 minutes up for that. It's very professional.
Eggs are done.
Shut up. No, go on, say,
if you're fit, you can get away with it, and that's why I brought up my story about shitting myself earlier.
Yeah.
But if I was ugly, no one would want to hear, would they?
They wouldn't. Well, I think it's nice to know that, you know, it's nice for the listeners to know that the 18 to 35 year old men who listen to this, who imagine women are all just kind of perfect, like little beautiful, fragrant, non-shitting, non-pissing, you know, angels. It's nice for them to find out that someone as beautiful as you
can shout and
is capable of shitting themselves.
And wants to talk about it, quite frankly.
And wants to talk about it a lot, and why not? Zoe, it's been fantastic having you in. Go and see Zoe and Lowy Lyons. Go and see her at the Glasgow Comedy Festival, at the Underbelly, or at the Edinburgh Festival, or at the I mean, if you're in the Latitude Festival, go to the Latitude Festival.
I'm not at Latitude.
Not Latitude.
Altitude.
Altitude.
Be there.
Altitude Festival.
Yeah.
Go and see it at the Altitude Festival, because then you can ski away if you don't like it. You get lots of men going, I don't like female comedians, or whoops.
Sloshing out of the room.
But yes, thank you very much for coming in, and we'll see you very soon, I hope. Give her a round, give her a round of applause like you.
FUBAR, radio worth paying for.
Your mic was very slightly up throughout that, so...
Oh, so I'm going to be the loud one.
No, well, no, this might be like a very quiet you coming through on that record. We'll see. So anyway, this is FUBAR Radio you're listening to. You know that. I'm Richard Herring. This is my show, and it belongs to me.
Come on, don't play the idiot. You know what you're listening to. And it's Luli and Herring's show.
Luli and Herring, that's what it's called. We'll get one of those set up. I thought we'd have a little lick at the news. I should have worked out where that was before.
Well, that's news to me.
News time.
We might come back and look more at the news in a second, but I've got the Sun newspaper from Tuesday here for some reason. The front page of the Sun is Cheryl, I'm back for £1.5 million.
Wow.
Do you care about The X Factor?
No.
Do you ever watch The X Factor?
No, of course I didn't.
Would you get, if Sam Cowell rang you up now and said... Yeah. We're doing a new series of The X Factor, but it's recorded at the same time as your FUBAR radio show.
What am I getting for it?
£1.5 million. Which of the shows would you do out of those two?
Oh, it's such a hard decision in life. I would do FUBAR, but I'd say, can I be played £1.5 million?
Yeah,
I think they've got it in the kitty.
So I think The X Factor... I can't believe people are still watching The X Factor. It seems to me like something that...
I can't believe we're talking about it, mate.
Well, I can't believe that either, but I think we have to in order to let the people who are watching it know. It's time to stop watching it. It's just all manufactured.
Yes.
It's always the same.
Guys, who cares? To the park or something.
Who cares?
Have a swing on a swing or something like that.
It's a good point. And also, the Sun are carrying on. We mentioned this last week when... When Nalu wasn't here, that the Sun are doing a breast cancer awareness thing via page three, which seems a little unsavoury and sick, and they're trying to cover up their basic 1970s throwbackness by making it look like the page three thing has a social agenda. But I think, you know, I think it's slightly off-putting because they're now associated, and I think there might be a cleverer agenda behind this than I realise.
Go on.
Well, they're trying to associate breasts with disease, and I liked breasts, but now every time I look at page three, I think, well, those might have cancer in them, and it puts me off. And then in Tuesday's Sun, they've got a page three girl who calls her breasts Anton Deck and has written Anton Deck on her breasts.
Mm-hmm.
She is covering her breasts, which is a nice gesture. But then that, again, that does not make me... The idea of a woman having Anton Deck written on her breast makes me think of Anton Deck's face staring back at me as breasts with just a nipple on the end of, instead of a nose.
I don't... Yeah.
And that puts me off breasts.
I don't want that much personality in my tits.
But I just think maybe they're trying to make me... I always like breasts. Ever since when I was a baby, I really loved them. They were nurturing, and they gave me food. Some of my mums did. I wasn't going around sucking on every available breast, hoping some milk would come out. They nurtured me. Then I became a teenager, and they were, you know, mystical thing that, you know, you dreamt maybe one day you might see again, but probably thought you never would. And then I became an adult, and then you're allowed to play around with them, and that's nice. And now the Sun have associated them with cancer, which they can sometimes can happen, and Ant and Dec. And now when I look at some breasts, and I'm thinking of Ant and Dec and cancer, and they've that saved, is not...
They've done you a favour, meant they saved you time.
I know. Well, now I'm not interested in bosoms anymore, and that's all thanks to the Sun.
Oh, can I read a tweet out that Romesh did? And yep. There's a comic called Romesh, he's brilliant. I never know how to say his surname. So
have a go at saying it.
No, thank you. he's an amazing comic. And after this happened, he tweeted, amazing move by the Sun to use Page Three as an anti-breast cancer campaign. My uncle used... I've not read it. I haven't done it justice. Okay. My uncle used to campaign against testicular cancer down the park.
very good. I will... Now it's time for me to go for a little wee. And while I do that, the rest of you are going to listen to a pre-recorded item about the meaning of life. I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Meaning of Life. We're looking at death once again. The death of an individual is rarely the cause for laughter or a concerted attempt to get a song with an unpleasant connotation to number one in the pop charts. Ding dong, the witch is dead. But occasionally there's grim humour in the demise of a person or persons where their own hubris, stupidity or sheer bad luck will make us chortle before feeling slightly ashamed. For me, the fear of experiencing a perverse or ironic death, for example, if I drown or get eaten by a shark, I'll be glad that I'm no longer around to see the herring-based puns that will follow, is the knowing that that is all that people will ever remember about you. Whatever else you do, if you die in a wanking accident, something I fear is very likely to happen to me despite all the practice I've been putting to get this good at it, then there's only one thing anyone's ever going to mention when your name comes up. Is he the guy who died wanking in the wardrobe? Here's a few of history's funnier and more embarrassing deaths. In 2010 BC, the first emperor of China, Qin Shi Huang, might know how you say it, was obsessed with the quest for immortality. He took several mercury pills in the belief that by doing so he would live forever. He didn't live forever, though. He died almost immediately. But for the remaining seconds of his life, he was able to tell you the exact temperature. In 762 AD, Chinese poet Li Po leant out of a boat attempting to kiss the moon's reflection. If he'd been on that boat, you'd have been willing him to fall in as a just reward for his overly soppy and pretentious romanticism. He did fall in, and then he drowned, which is probably a bit more than his reflection smooching deserved. In 1552, Henry Pert of Nottinghamshire, was practising his archery. He pulled his bow back to its full extent, but the arrow got stuck and wouldn't take flight. He leaned over to have a look at what the problem was, and you guessed it, it's like when someone looks in a hose pipe, isn't it? With slightly more deadly consequences. In 1993, we've all wished a lawyer dead at some point in our lives, but ultimately you only have to feel sorry for Gary Hoy. Ultimately, he worked on the 24th floor of the Toronto Dominion Centre. His party trick was to demonstrate to visitors that the glass in the windows was unbreakable by throwing himself against the glass. He did this twice on July the 9th, but on the second attempt, he went crashing through the aperture. The window had not broken, but popped out of its frame, so at least he'd proven himself correct. In 1998, if you've ever felt God favours another football team over yours, then you should try supporting Bena Tashadi. When they played Basanga in 1998, there was a lightning storm which killed the entire team. All the players for Basanga survived. In 2005, Kenneth Pinion from Seattle died of acute peritonitis after receiving anal intercourse from a stallion. The case led to the criminalisation of bestiality in Washington State. The most remarkable thing about that is bestiality was still legal in Washington State before that. It's almost like someone who takes things too far. It's always someone who takes things too far who ruins the fun for everyone else, isn't it? In 2010, 20 crew and passengers died in a plane crash in the Democratic Republic of Congo when a crocodile smuggled on board in a passenger's hand luggage freed itself and panicked the passengers who all ran towards the flight deck. The tiny plane became unbalanced and crashed. One passenger and the crocodile survived. In 2011, Jose Luis Ochoa, 35, died after being stabbed in the leg at a cockfight in California by one of the fighting birds that had a knife attached to its limb. It's hard to feel any sympathy for him, isn't it? Chickens don't get many victories over a man, but that one certainly did. It might well prove to be the first step in a Planet of the Chickens future world. Though our physical bodies may eventually die, can we achieve immortality through our work or our deeds? I'm 46 years old now. I'm probably more than a third of the way through my life. So I'm starting to think about my legacy so far. I've done nothing that will guarantee my name will live on beyond my death, or even before it, really. I need to get moving. If you want to be part of history but are squeamish about assassinating a politician, you have four realistic options. A, you can get a disease or a planet or something named after you, like Lou Gehrig or Pluto. B, you can join Murphy and Sod by coming up with a universal law. C, you can create a new strategy for war or sport like Hannibal or Fosbury. Or D, you invent or appropriate something that will take your name, like W.H. Hoover or Ian Sandwich Toaster. Here are my four shots at eternal life. A, the problem with getting stuff named after you is most of the cool things have been taken. The trick is to find something that has a rubbish name and change it. I'm a big fan of the 17th century anatomist William Cowper, who ensured immortality by having a tiny gland in the male reproductive system named after him. It's unlikely anyone else would want to wrestle that accolade from him. I've always thought the name for the external opening of the urethra could be a better name than meatus. Could have a better name than Meatus, or the racist eye-based moniker given to it by generations of schoolchildren. Given all the flesh torpedo-based comedy I've created over the years, and all the work I've done with my own spam javelin, I think it's only fair we rename that aperture the herring's eye, and then every time one winks at you after I'm dead, you will think of me. It's not easy to come up with a pithy observation like Michael McIntyre's Mandraw Law, but I think I've done it. Herring's Law is whichever locker you select in the gym changing room, when you return after exercise, however empty the gym might be, someone will be using the locker right next to yours. You know it's true, it always happens. C, I don't like sport, but reckon I could be a top tennis coach. I've noticed that most tennis players exhaust themselves by trying too hard at the start of a match, and yet the winner is always the player who wins the final points of the game. So I've come up with the herring manoeuvre, it works for most sports, which is to let your opponent get a false sense of security and tire themselves by winning all the early points, but then at the end start trying and win all the crucial final points. A lot of British stars have mastered the first part of that already, so it's not far for them to go. And finally, bumping into people in the street is a bane of modern life. You're walking towards someone, you realise you're going to collide. You move one way, but they simultaneously move the same way and block you. Then you move back, but they do too. You both end up humiliated and delayed. This doesn't have to happen. Simply always pass to your left. If you may move left and they move left, there'll be no collisions. Even if they are not aware of Richard Herring's left-hand rule, as long as you move left and refuse to change course, you'll be fine, unless you happen to encounter a foreigner who's using his or her country's right-hand rule. Anyway, immortality is assured with those four. Remember my name. I will live forever. Please make those things happen. It would be good if they do.
FUBAR! What you're doing now is listening to Rich Terring and Lou Sanders on FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR!
The first two letters of FUBAR are F-U.
Yes, yeah. That's no mistake.
We've had a pedantic thing in. They're drifting in slowly. Not that many pedants listening to the show. The most pedantic thing, says Justin London, that I have ever done is when I started my new job, I refused to start work until they changed my title on my name badge. The badge said marketing and multimedia executive, but my job title was head of marketing.
Wow, so it very, didn't start work.
It was very important.
Everyone must have thought, what a lovely, relaxed guy. Can't wait to work with him. When I was listening to your Richard Herring's Meaning of Life, I was doing it to...
You listened to it.
I was listening to it, half listened to it, to that thing, that meme that's going around, 20 Strangers Kiss for the First Time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, it's a lovely little charming video. Oh, my phone's going. And it made it better, really. Give it some gravitas.
So if you want to go back and listen to that again and put on the strangers kissing at the same time, it will help you get through that.
Yeah. And also, might I say, what a woman of substance and class I am.
Yeah.
Because I have not opened the second bottle of Grabbies, and nor shall I.
You haven't. It's, you know, you're very restrained now, which is good. When will you probably drink it later on, though, right?
No, I probably have it next week or something, knowing me.
If Krabby's want to send in loads more ginger beer, will you drink it?
Yeah, I'll start drinking it.
It didn't work with whatever I tried that with the other week. Sushi I was trying to get, wasn't that from Itsu? And no, they're not listening.
It's so weird.
In Itsu and
they're not one of
Krabby's.
The two people listening.
Yeah, so that's a shame. But never mind. I've got this thing with my wife I want to talk to you about.
Go on. I can probably help.
Is that we're having a problem.
Oh, no.
That I, when we go out to a cinema or something, or like watching something together in the evening time, I don't like her going on her mobile phone. I like to think we were trying to watch something the other day on TV, and she was on her mobile for about 5 minutes. And I said, it's sort of spoiling my enjoyment of this. We're trying to watch Jonathan Creek, and I couldn't concentrate.
Mm.
And I said, would it be all right if you went off your phone? She was, you know, she kind of strut, you know what women are like.
And, I'm talking about...
I used to be one.
But then sometimes, because she goes, you're such a hypocrite because you're on your phone all the time. And I said, yes, but if you asked me to get off the phone, I would get off immediately. And in the mornings, we watch 30 Rock on DVD in bed. And I've seen them all before. Mm. And so, sometimes I'm checking my Twitter in the morning. And then she said yesterday, she told me to stop. I said, of course, darling, I will stop immediately because that is what you do when your loved one asks you to stop. Mm. But then today, she hadn't asked me to stop. But then she said, oh, I see you on your phone on Twitter. And I said, yeah, but you haven't asked me. She said, I asked you yesterday. That doesn't carry on over 2 days.
I will refer you to the topic of the phone-in. Pedantic.
Yeah.
It's not phone-in. So that is. I'm on Team Katie.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
And I've done some T-shirts.
I chose the wrong person to ask about that. Do you have some news stories? We can do some more news.
Surely.
Hey, hold on. Let me do the thing first.
Well, that's news to me.
Cool.
News time.
Okay, there is a news story here we are going to discuss. This is an interesting little story. I'll read it out. Christina, can't pronounce the surname, paid, it's Polish, $3,000, that's $1,800 in English, for the privilege of having someone make an incision into her eyeball skin and place a shard, it was a platinum heart embedded into her eyeball.
That's not nice.
And what she said is, because people have asked her about it,
yeah,
as you might, I'm a person who likes extremes. I want to keep it in my eye for as long as possible. She's a Russian-born New Yorker, if that makes any difference to anyone. She said, I like it, but I'm planning to swap it out. Well, she's already contradicted herself because she said she wants to keep it in there for as long as possible. So sentence two, she's...
How does it... What part of her eye is it in? It's making my eyes hurt.
It's horrible, isn't it?
In the whites of her eye and the colour of her eye. So, like in the eyeball.
Yeah.
No.
So she's. It's horrible.
No. Move on to something else.
I really want to try a new design. No. Every girl wants to try something new. She's not talking about her eyes.
But what if it catches in her eye when she blinks?
I don't know. It's grim, isn't it?
And also, what if it just explodes her eyeball and then all her eye comes out?
I mean, there's more questions and answers.
What's the most extreme piece of eye-based jewellery or face jewellery you've had?
Why would you? I'm just as God made me.
Did you ever pierce anything interesting when you were younger?
No, I got a tattoo and my mum... I did pierce my belly and then my mum called me a tart and slapped me. I was about 13. Wow. And I hid it from my mum and dad for ages.
You've got to tell your mum before you do that. If any 13-year-old girls are listening to me for some reason...
and that is your
Then listen to me. I'm the one person in show business you can trust. Ask your mum about everything.
Yeah.
If a man from show business asked you to get in his car and drive around with him, ask your mum if it's okay.
Yeah.
That is my advice. Mum. And it isn't okay. Don't get in. They're all evil.
Mind you, I watched this documentary once on heroin in Wales.
Yeah.
And a lot of the families have been on it. It was really grim. And the more grim than getting this thing anyway.
Yeah.
And the mums had sold their kids onto people, so not all the time you can ask your mum. It's really helpful.
There are some mums. If your mum is on heroin, don't ask her opinion. Ask her first, go, Mum, are you on heroin? And if she says, yes, I am, say, right, I'll ask another responsible adult about this.
Yeah.
So that's
some sage advice there from Diggy.
It's very nice. Well, you dug me into that hole that I had to attempt to get out of. Brian Cox is on. I'm allowed to say Cox on this. So there's no fun in saying you're doing a story about Brian Cox. Says that 2020 is the date we'll finally know if there's anybody out there in outer space.
Oh.
They've got new. They're spending £1.2 billion on those big kind of egg cup things that point at the sky, like the big dishes. And they're so sensitive they could pick up the radar of an aircraft in 50 million light years away or something. It might not be quite that far. So they have to be put out in the desert because they could, someone's mobile went off, it would wreck everything.
Boring! Someone's carved an eye into their eyeball.
Don't you think, are you interested in E.T.? If there are ETs out there?
I know there are.
They've already
made contact.
Have they made love with you?
They've made contact, but not romantic.
Okay.
I'm up in arms about it. that's 2020. You'll still be alive, won't you?
I will. You might still be alive. Have you ever seen a UFO?
No.
Okay.
But my mum has, and she's not really into that kind of stuff.
A few comics have. I think Glenn Wall's seen a UFO, but he did take quite a lot of drugs.
Sure.
So that
have
is,
you ever seen? No, you haven't seen.
I haven't. Well, I've seen things in the sky that I can't necessarily identify, but no, I haven't.
I think this feels like a very short section, but I think we have to go to another record for some reason. So we will do that right now. I thought it was going to be James Blunt. I thought I was going to have words, but I do like James Blunt on Twitter. He's good fun.
Yeah.
So this is James Blake. Well, not sure yet. Life round here. He's going to tell us about what life is like round wherever he is.
Go on, Blakey.
And I expect his Blakey. I hate you, Butler. Yes, we'll talk about more. We've got some poetry coming up. We've got Buy Lou a House.
No, we
haven't. Yeah, I'm going to do that again.
Reverse psychology. I don't want it.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. We'll be back in a sec.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders. Ripping you a new ear hole.
Now, I can't work out who it is. You know, Justin Lee Collins is on FUBAR Radio.
I saw
it. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say too much on that. Everyone deserves a second chance.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do they? Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Do they? Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't like to. I'm trying not to gossip or speak ill of anybody.
Yeah.
It's really hard, actually.
It is. It's very hard. Yeah. What I've decided to do is just be gossip and speak ill of everyone. And then it'll be fun.
It's a lot more fun.
It'll be good. So we're going to now do some of my teenage poetry. These are genuine teenage poems. Amy Howes came in last week. She wrote one. It was good, though. But she pretended it was a real one. She's just a liar.
What do you mean?
She didn't understand what it was.
I mean, I'm trying not to talk ill of anyone. And then you mentioned Amy Howes. You're a test.
Look, I'll put that. That's the Moonlight Sonata underneath there by Ludwig van Beethoven, I like to call him. He was a good guy. Death, he was a bit deaf. That's why it's not that good, this. And I think this is apt.
Was he deaf? I thought Mozart was deaf.
No, Mozart just died.
Mozart was deaf as well.
He wasn't, it was Beethoven.
Okay.
Ludwig van Beethoven, I call him. So this is a poem I wrote very close to last week's one in April. This is in April 1985, I guess it was. Or maybe 86. So I was about 17 or 18 years old. It's called No Title Yet, but I think that's
so
because
pretentious.
I don't know, I think there just wasn't a title. But this is I was ahead of my time because this is an ecological. This is about the ecology and the dangers of pollution. So I hope you will enjoy this. Once there was a perfect river; it was pure and clear. Animals would drink from it with no need to fear. This way, I laugh at your stuff. Don't be rude. Greenery was all around. Trees provided shade. Man had left it undisturbed. The price would soon be paid. Man makes beauty fade. It's long, this poem, by the way, but that's all right. The river runs down to the sea. Bad men come and go. One day good men may bring change, but the change will be too slow, and the river may cease to flow.
Yeah.
So you can see I'm already... This is before even there was any pollution, really. So
I've got an urge to litter bug.
An evil man so fat on wealth one day found the water. It looked just right for factory waste. Never mind the slaughter.
Oh.
I put a little bracket around that saying change, but I didn't change it. I left it in.
This is amazing.
Poison spilled... It's an evil man so fat on wealth. Poison spilled into... This is the best verse. If you can get through this, this is the best thing I've ever written.
Please, Jesus.
Poison spilled into the pure. Creatures drank and died. It had turned their throats to pus. That's not even the funny bit yet. And burned out their insides. A single child cried.
Oh, that's the one.
That's the child. Actually,
A single child.
There's only one child who understood what was going on, and he cried, and no one paid them any attention. The river runs down to the sea. Bad deeds start to show, but selfish men ignore the signs. Selfish man ignores the signs. That's all of us. And the bad deeds start to grow. The river may cease to flow. Other bad men saw the plan and the money saved. In waste poured and profit soared. Internal rhyme in that line, which is
very
beautiful.
That's quite good. Yeah, that was actually right.
The way their minds behaved. I let myself down a bit. Then it says, perhaps change by
perhaps.
That line.
Perhaps. I mean, the jury's out. It's quite good.
The way their minds behaved. All life round the river died. Evil soaked the ground. Good men started to protest, but their voices made no sound. In poison they were drowned. It's very long and pretentious.
I think that if that had made it out into the public, then we wouldn't have any environmental problems.
But I'm not even halfway through the poem yet.
You shitting me. Richard, come on.
You've got to hear the whole thing out.
Oh, God.
The river runs down to the sea. The horns begin to blow.
then I've got star better possible question mark.
I give you one thing, you were tenacious. you begin... got halfway through, you thought this neat, there's more to be said.
The horns begin to blow. I don't know if that's like some kind of allusion to Judgment Day. That's sort of what happens in Judgment Day, isn't it?
I think maybe you're giving yourself too much credit.
Or just I couldn't think of anything else that rhymed with O that flow. But bad men lie about their deeds, for they see no tomorrow. Is this okay? No. When the river may cease to flow. The poison spread across the land to water kept for drink. No one saw the dangers yet.
Hang on.
You'd think they'd have seen the dangers by now. Come on, yes.
A line in the poem is... Go back a bit.
Yeah.
Is this okay? No. Is that an actual line in the poem?
It says, is this okay? That's my notes to myself. Is this okay?
I thought that the poem was so... I gave the poem so little respect. I thought it was...
No, it's me. It's me commenting. It's me commenting at the time. The poison spread across the land to water kept for drink. This is the important part of it. Mm. Are we going to... I'm going to run out of D. I'm going to press it again. Oh, God, I've stopped it. There we go, it's back
on. No,
it's pretty good if we've gone through. That means we've already been going for 4 minutes. It's good, it fills up a lot of time. No, don't worry about it. The poison spread across the land to water kept for drink.
Yeah.
That's the this is where it becomes dangerous now. Yeah. No one saw the dangers yet. I mean, it's amazing that they got that far.
Is the next line think? Why don't we play a game where I try and guess the rhyming word?
There'd been no time to think.
Yeah, it's easy.
Disease and death were all around. Confrontation nears. Oh, this is the...
Fears.
Yeah, oh, no, this is the best line I've ever written.
Beers or leers?
The only water that was pure was from an orphan's tears.
Oh, my... Oh, God, I feel so sick from the inside out.
Because their parents have been killed by the water, I'm guessing. But their tears were still pure.
I mean, this is a B narrative.
Presumably their tears would have salt in them still. Then it's at least now someone hears. So you didn't get that one. It was tears and hears. Mm. The river runs down to the sea. It doesn't stop for sorrow. People cried, tomorrow. There must be change. People can be slow. Sorrow and slow. Mm. For the river may cease to flow. Mm. At last the good men did win through. And they found a cure. A few bad men were locked away. Everything was pure. But before all had ended, so unluckily, this is going to be like Tales of the Unexpected, most bad men had switched their plans and were poisoning the sea.
Oh my God.
The people let it be. The river still runs to the sea, but now here's the blow. Before bad deeds had come to light, new ones start to grow, and the river has ceased to flow. R.K. Herring, 2nd of the 4th, 1986. Luzerne. Just so my future autobiographers would know where I was when I penned that.
What did you, like,
then
anyone...
I say, the last line, the last time, is meant to convey that by the time things change, it doesn't really matter anymore because the problem has gone already.
Amen.
So I hope you
What did
that.
Your parents say when you read them a poem or anything?
I think I kept them secret to myself and just hoped that, you know, when I died tragically young, as I anticipated I would, they'd be discovered and everyone would go, oh my God, there was what a genius has been lost to the world.
Made me feel a range of emotions and none of them positive.
Well, I mean, it's not meant to make you feel good. It's meant to make you feel bad about the way you're treating the planet with your raisins coming here eating raisins. Have you thought about how those raisins got here?
No.
It's a very ecological show because one of my blogs was about the world, you know, going to be drowned. So, you know, I've always been concerned about the future.
I mean, social change through poetry is a real thing, isn't it?
It is. That's what I'm mainly about. So have you got any more news stories? You got a bit more news or have you done?
The poetry thing.
You had a poetry thing.
I haven't got a poetry thing, okay. But I do remember writing about, I thought I had this line that was so clever. And when I told my mum, it was something to do with a wasp trapped in a glass. Or it might be, oh no, suspended in ice. This wasp was suspended in ice. And I thought, well, that is real think piece. And then my mum was like, oh, I think Russell's better at poetry. That's my brother.
Oh.
And Russell's poems are really good. Like,
yeah. Not as good. I mean, not as good as my.
No.
Not as good as that.
Russell was a poet in our family. You were the poet in your family. And so then I wore a beret for a week trying to change her mind. just walked around in a beret the whole time. Maybe she'll take me seriously now.
Yeah.
She didn't.
If anyone has any ideas for a title for that poem, because there's no title yet is what it's called. So
put it in the bin?
No, email us at herring@foobarradio.com. You can tweet me at herring1967. You can tweet Lou at Lou Sanders. Just get in touch with the show. Just let us know you're out there. We had two emails last week after the show. That's not enough, is it?
Is anybody listening?
We're working our hearts out here for you. And what do we get? Fuck all. So fuck you. Actually, if you're listening, fuck you. Don't even email in. No, do. Sorry, I've lost it.
Go fuck yourselves, guys.
I'm going to do a DLT. I mean, by that, go crazy because I've been sacked. But I haven't been sacked. Yeah. When I say do a DLT, that's
Should
all I meant.
Should we try and get the sack? Should we do a new feature? Trying to get the sack.
Okay. I'll do a jingle for it now. I'll do the music.
Okay. Sex, 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 trying to get the sack.
Trying to get the sack. Everyone who works for Food Bar Radio is.
I could do.
Smells.
I could get gross misconduct.
Yeah.
For stealing and sex crimes.
Give it a go. See what you can steal. See if that guy stole a microwave. Let's see if we can walk away with, you know, maybe this. I'll try and steal the play thing for the music.
You know, the only thing that I want to
steal. I'll be doing everyone a favour if I do that, to be honest.
You know, the only thing that I want to steal around here? That poetry book.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be looking after this. Don't you worry. I'm going to look after it very tightly. Okay, we're going to go to some music. Oh, look at this. Brilliant. I might have chosen this if I ever chose records, but, you know. I can't be bothered. Why, you know, I like some music. You might not like it. Why do I have to inflict it on you? Poor people at home. Oh, Lou's on her phone. Is she like my wife? Can you wait till we're actually not on the radio before you?
I'm zoning out.
What are you tweeting?
I'm BBMing my best friend Gabby.
What about?
Just a show that I did tonight.
It's terrible.
I zone out some of
the time. I know. See, I'm not eating enough raisins. You've got to get some beans down and you'll be fine. So this is The Smiths. Morrissey was one of them, I believe. Big Mouth Strikes Again.
Hit it.
FUBAR! That's our name, don't wear it out. So with our producer's very excited about Lou committing sex crimes.
New feature.
It'd be good publicity for the radio station. We don't care. As long as we get publicity, we don't care for that publicity. That
Actually,
is the moral at FUBAR.
I'm going to be more of a lady now and stop talking about, like, just grim things.
Yeah, I would like that. I think the listeners would appreciate that if you could be more ladylike. I think that's what they like about you.
I'm going to rework my USP.
Okay. So we're going to have a crack at They Said What, Who Said What Did They Say?
Plop that jingle
Shall
on.
We give that a go?
What did they say? Who said that and who are they?
All good questions. So this is a section in which you've come up with some quotes and I have to try and guess who made the quotes.
I didn't come up with them. These people have said it.
Okay.
Okay, so I was about to read out the name then. The game ruined. So someone, this is what they said about Japan. I'll do it in the voice, shall I?
Japan the country or Japan the 1980s new romantic band that I was a fan of?
What do you think?
I think it's probably the country, but I just want to check. Yeah. Do you remember Japan, David Sylvian?
No, because I'm only 26.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the quiet life. Let's play Japan next. I'd like some Japan on next week's show. That's what was good. We'll have... Ghosts, the ghosts of my life, colder than before.
Why would we play it when you can sing it so beautifully?
I once masturbated to Orgasm Addict because one of my friends had told me it was amazing to masturbate to it. It didn't really work for me.
No, I mean...
And I had to go in... This is the terrible thing about this story. I've just realised I didn't have a record player in my room, so I had to masturbate in my sister's bed. To Orgasm Addict by Japan, and it was, you know, it wasn't doing anything for me. I'm not an oral person. I like oral sex. I do not like oral sex.
No.
And so it was just difficult. And also, I was in my sister's bed. And, you know,
I mean,
where, that doesn't.
Imagine if she'd come in and you were just jacking off. To...
Was it adolescent sex? Did I say orgasm addict? Adolescent
did,
sex is what I meant. Yeah, orgasm addict. That would be a terrible two hours.
Thank goodness.
That'd be ironic to masturbate to that because that's about masturbation.
Yeah.
Adolescent sex with adolescent sex. Maybe let's play that next week and I'll try and masturbate to it and see how it goes.
New feature, guys.
You can go. You can all go out of the
room. Very uncomfortable feature, guys.
I find it hard enough to, you know.
Really notching those listeners up. two to none.
That's what I meant. Anyway, yes, go ahead with your interesting quote.
So this is a quote. You have to guess who it is, and I'll try and do it in her voice so you know. Oh, you already know it's a female. Okay. I never really wanted to go. I won't do it in her voice. I never really wanted to go to Japan simply because I don't like eating fish, and I know that's a very popular dish out there in Africa.
is someone who's quite stupid.
Yes.
Is it?
Well that's she might not be, but
that
she
was a silly thing
aware.
To say.
Yeah, that was.
Well, if somebody would go to Japan, I'm going to go straight in for the obvious.
Yeah, go on.
Which is probably correct. Victoria Beckham.
No.
Okay. Damn.
She's American.
Damn.
How much I did make there.
Britney Spears.
Yeah. It was really obvious because you know, it's just archetypal.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, that could be anyone in America because they don't know where they go. Is that part of Australia? Is that part of Europe?
That's true. They know a lot about Princess Diana, though.
Is Scotland in London?
They know about Kate's dresses, that's for sure.
They do.
Okay, here's another one.
Sorry to any of our American listeners who understand geography. I'm
and
guessing.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing they like. Okay. This one's linked.
Casual racism.
Also about chicken and fish.
Yep.
Is this chicken? What is this chicken what I have, or is it fish? I know it's tuna, but it says chicken by the sea. That's not actually that good. You're not having that one.
Okay. Who said it?
Jessica Simpson.
I'd never have got that.
No. All your references are highbrow. It's a very difficult game for you. Okay, this is a good one. I think I may have given you this before. I've read it anyway.
Okay.
Someone on film festivals.
Yeah.
So where's the Cannes Film Festival being held this year?
That is good.
That's a good one.
Was that a good impression of the person? Is it a woman?
It's a woman, yeah.
Are they American?
Yes.
Are they... is it Marilyn Monroe?
No.
Is it...
Someone more modern.
Pamela Anderson?
No.
Is it...
I'll do you a clue
where
I'll hum one of their songs, and it's the most obvious song, and if you don't get it from this, then you are really stupid.
Can I masturbate to the song?
No.
Well?
No. Okay. I'd be really grateful if you, if you didn't. Okay. Yeah, I forgot I can't sing. So it's
well, it makes it harder. Yeah, I don't know.
Dirty, Christina Aguilera.
Oh, is it Christina Aguilera?
No, you may proceed.
It's being like being in Never Mind the Buzzcocks. That's my least favourite bit about being in Never Mind the Buzzcocks is the intro round, because, you know, it shows a vast chasm of lack of knowledge in myself.
You can't control it.
I can't.
That's your... Okay, one more.
Okay.
No, they're not very good.
Well, you're committed to it now. You're going to have to do it.
Okay. Whenever I watch TV and see those poor starving... Oh, no, you'll know that one. It's really obvious. Okay. I feel at my best when I'm happy.
You've got loads of them. I feel at my best when I'm happy?
Yeah. Who said that?
That could be anyone. That's everyone. Everyone in the world feels at the best when they're happy.
Well, that's why it's a stupid quote, dum-dum. That's the point of it.
Well, that doesn't give me a clue who it is.
Okay. She's not blonde. She is American.
Why are they all women? You're sexist. Why are you picking all these women saying stupid things?
Also,
how about having some men saying some stupid things?
Well, okay.
Sexist.
Okay, we'll skip through that. People think I've changed, and I have changed, and now I'm now the person I know I am.
Matthew McConaughey.
No.
Robbie Williams.
No. Quick heads up, I've never heard of this person.
Gore Vidal.
No.
Richard Nixon.
First name John.
David Sylvian.
First name John, okay. David Sylvian.
John Merrick, the Elephant Man.
No.
I'm not convinced this is amazing.
Gosling, John Gosling.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get that. I didn't know who that was.
Well, this has been a really, really crap just, game, Richard. Put the jingle on and let's try and hold it
Lou
together.
That's Lou Sanders' quiz.
What did they say? Who said what?
It's worth it. The jingle saved us there, so that was fine. So what you got coming up this week? I'm going to be on tour.
Oh, no one likes to brag it.
I mean, it's not bragging. It's just desperately trying to sell tickets.
No, go on.
Tonight, as you're listening to this, I'm in Tring. Where were you? You could have seen me in Tring.
Tring, the search engine.
Yeah. I'm back in Tring in July, I think, doing a preview of my new show, so come and see me then. I'm in Windsor on Friday the 14th. Hopefully the Queen and Kate Middleton have popped down.
Yes.
And in the 15th, I'm in Norwich.
Norwich
in East Anglia. And you could have done that one, but then it would be Jay Goody, and that would be a bit sick to bring that up.
Mm.
And on Sunday, I'm doing my Meaning of Life show. I'm recording that, the number 4. Only the first one's gone out so far.
Guys, get yourself along.
It's about that. It's also about death, as is my show. We're all going to die. Love to see you there. And on the 17th, I'm interviewing Harry Shearer. I don't get shit like Zoe Lyons on my show. I get proper fucking Hollywood superstars on my show.
Yeah, but what happened when you said, I said, who's on your podcast next week? And you said Harry Shearer, and I went, football.
Harry Shearer, I'll have you know, plays Mr. Burns in The Simpsons, along with many other characters.
Yes, sure. I thought it was Alan.
I know you did. And he was in This is Spinal Tap, my favourite film of all time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm very, very, very excited about that. There are still tickets left, if you want to come see that.
Can you
Square
believe
Theatre.
I can't believe it.
Victoria Corrin is also going to be on. And then next Tuesday, the 18th, I'm going to be recording another one of these. Are you going to be able to come?
Yeah.
That'd be good. So what have you got planned for the week? I'm just working all the time.
I'm going to Cornwall for a long weekend.
Are you? Who with?
Oh, my friend Georgie. She's called Mega Fun.
Is she one of the girls, the five girls you've kissed?
No.
Let us know how it goes.
By the way, that was all on the same night, and what a night.
Was it? That's good work. Can people see you gigging?
Oh,
I'd like to. What have you been up to?
I've got a preview tonight, but this is going to be...
Yeah, that's no good. We're recording this ahead. Okay, we're looking Thursday onwards, really.
I'll be doing different previews. I'm going to a birthday party on Friday.
Okay. Do you want to give the details out? So I don't think we'll... There might be a way of finding out how many listeners we have if we say, there's an amazing party, come and see it, come along.
I'm going to do new material, 18th at Camden Head. I'm doing a gig on Thursday 20th, haven't written where it is. I'm in Milton Keynes on Friday the 21st.
Okay.
At somewhere called Red Dot. And then I'm going to Switzerland for some gigs.
Actually,
the only gig I do want to promote, Monday 24th, Camden Head, I'm doing a preview with Rachel Stubbings.
That'd be good. Or you could come and see me at the Leicester Square Theatre talking to Nick Helm and John Ronson. Which, you know, I think would be better. Anyway, it's been a lovely day. I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. It's certainly been eventful.
I'm not laughing.
You're not laughing at my terrible put-down of you. I'm sorry, Lou. We'll sort it out after the show. Thank you very much to Talia and Will in the booth there. And apparently we're getting a clock next week, so we might be able to work out what time things start. I think we're just judging it. I reckon we're just about time to play Jake Bugg, Lightning Bolt, and then it'll be the end. So we'll see you. Well, you know, we won't. We'll hear you. No, we won't. You'll hear us.
Lots of love, everyone.
This same time next week, and then some other times.
Keep it clean, guys.